the Austin Affordable Housing Corporation Board of Directors meeting and the Austin Affordable PFC Inc. Board of Directors meeting. Mr. Gerber, will you call the roll?
Commissioner Bailey?
Here.
Commissioner Duncan Hall?
Present.
Commissioner Carrington?
Present.
Commissioner Apostolo?
Present.
Chairman Ritchie?
Present.
There's a quorum for all meetings.
All right, so we'll officially call the order at 12:29 p.m. With that, we will begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Next item is citizens' communication, and we have Mary Alshire from Gaston Place.
And I can just sit here. This is fine for me.
Okay.
Stand up, Mary.
Stand up.
Because I'm disabled. I was born with a club foot.
Okay.
Left hip kind of off.
All right.
Okay, and can you tell me when to start with 3 minutes? And I'd appreciate it if nobody interrupts me in the middle of the 3 minutes.
All right. Begin now. Now.
Okay. I live at Gaston Apartments, and I'm coming to ask you to see if you can get the automatic withdrawal system for rent back for our apartments. I was charged $841 when it came time to recertify this year for my rent for mistakes that were made with the finance department at HACA and RAD. $840 is a lot for me. And I need to pay exactly the amount of my rent once a month into the system and have it on my debit sheet every time to be the same. Because it really messed me up. And it happens to a lot of people in HACA. And from at Gaston, it happened to a lot of our residents. They pay their deposits, and then they were called in and said they never paid their deposits. So this is pretty scary for our residents. I'll be paying it off on a plan. The second thing I need to suggest is if you can make sure that the HACA board meetings and the citywide board meetings are on the HACAnet calendar. So all I have to do once a month is HACAnet.org, click calendar, and ta-da, there it is. I clicked the date, and I really appreciated when you were talking about getting the map and other materials on the smartphone because we're in a new age. The third thing is there's some kind of a fire alarm box in the lobby that turned on all day Saturday, all day Sunday, all day Monday, which was Columbus Day. If I call the fire department, they will come over and turn it off, but they're not very happy about it. HACA maintenance will not show up. So our residents and guests and family who walk through the lobby hear this all day long. Are you ready? Non-stop. Non-stop all day. We have disabled people. We have marginal and vulnerable community living at Gaston. And my disability is PTSD and depression, okay? I'm a victim of profound crime abuse in my family. My dad delivered the Gratino bullets to D.C. 10 days after Kennedy was shot for the CIA. Trump is going to Dallas to the American Airlines Center today as a statement that the intelligence community has to take credit for what happened to JFK and not try to create something else to take the focus off of it. And so I'm responsible to make sure that Trump is not assassinated, okay, by the CIA. And I've got the CIA document, FBI document, with my dad's employment number on it. And I'll be darned if I'm going to walk out of my apartment all week in long and all I hear is beep after watching the United States Congress
Oversight Committee with the Honorable Elijah Cummings on there talking about facial recognition in real time in Detroit and San Francisco. And then I feel like I'm responsible for everybody being disrupted for the whole weekend, and I can't talk about it. That's the kind of stuff you can't talk about it. I've been working on this for 5 years. You can ask Villar, and you can ask Michael Roth and Mr. Gerber. And Rick Perry went to the Ukraine. And I'm having to come out of my apartment thinking like, oh gosh, it's deep state, shadow government, new world order. And y'all need to be aware of the security issue of this going on right now. But you have somebody at Gaston. I don't want to lose my housing over it. But I'll be darned if I'm going to sit around and watch another president of the United States get assassinated.
Right. Well, your three minutes has just expired.
Okay.
We appreciate your comments. The issues regarding automatic deposits, the fire alarm, or the is it a fire alarm?
Mr. Teasdale can explain it better than I.
It's repaired.
I'm just saying all the issues that you have brought up, we have heard you, and the staff will address it.
You will. Okay, and you will keep our residents at Gaston safe.
Yes, we're committed to doing that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak or who has not signed up? Seeing none, we would close the public citizens comment period and we'll go into the public hearing on the proposal for Ventura at Parma Lane Development. Suzanne?
Yes, this you've previously seen this project on May 23rd for the inducement resolution and the tax credit application resolution. Now we're getting closer to the closing date. This one is in the Austin ETJ. It's off of Palmer. And we've been approached by lots of people, developers, that are, you know, the Palmer Lane area is really starting to build up around there. So that's why we're excited to get in there now before it gets too pricey to purchase. This is a 216-unit family property. All the units will be for people with 60% AMI and below. And it looks like we are shooting for a January 2020 close. And you will see this one more time to sign or to approve final resolutions.
So this is a required public hearing on this property, and so we're, again, we'll be coming back to the board. We'll provide you fuller information at a later point. No more questions. We would open it up to the public to ask
questions. Linked out, but who is our development partner?
Sorry, Dominium.
Dominium.
Okay. It's the first one that we're doing with them. It's a new. We have other ones that we have purchased that were already built, but this is the first new construction.
Okay, thank you.
And they were able to give me kind of a site plan, layout of what the buildings will look like. It's pretty large tract of land, so there will be quite a bit of green space. And then this is what the buildings will look like.
Mr. Chairman, may I ask if there's any members of the public who would like to offer comments on this project?
Sure.
One gentleman.
Yes, sir.
Did you take a picture of where it is? From here, you can't tell anything. What are the yellow roads?
Maynard Expressway here. Sir, why don't you come forward and Bill, if you don't mind, we'll just trade out spots.
If you would state your name so we get it on the record.
My name is Alex Duderstadt, and I'll have to get closer to the map.
So this is the intersection.
So it's on the north side of Palmer?
Yeah, it's the south side.
Well, this is Palmer.
Right, yeah, it's north.
It's on the east or the west side.
Okay, it's on the west side.
Yes.
Okay. So is that HEPMA?
So we're just taking public comment on the project. We can give you more detailed information separately, but if you want to comment, it's not really a back and forth kind of thing.
I got you.
If there's any comment you'd like to give on the project, we'd be glad to take that now. Okay. Ron and Suzanne would be glad to visit with you afterwards. Any other public comment on the project for or against or a general statement? Okay. Mr. Duderstein, again, Suzanne and Ron will be glad to visit with you afterwards and tell you exactly where the project is. That said, okay, Mr. Chairman, we'll close the...
Why don't you flash back to... Yeah.
Do we want to explain why we're doing a public hearing? What it pertains to?
So it's really important. State Highway 230, correct? As opposed to, it's not on Palmer, but it's this one's kind of State Highway going to vote. State Highway, that's what I was
talking about. Ron, what's this rose here on the left side? Is that Palmer?
Yes, Palmer.
Palmer's on the east side of Palmer?
I can't tell
that.
It would be on the east side.
It's on the east.
And 130 is going east.
I think I've asked this before. There's nothing much out there right now, is there?
Right now, there's more like single-family residences, but there's not a lot of multifamily yet. But there is a lot of like office buildings and retail centers that are slated to go out.
So it's pretty close to 290. Is that what I saw?
Yeah.
Yep.
Or is that the same thing as the main or expressway?
So
I never heard it called that, but.
This is 290.
Yeah, okay.
Going toward the airport right here.
Yeah.
You want to make it that way, and so it's right here.
And you're going to Georgetown the other way.
Yeah.
On 130.
So yeah, you want to go to Georgetown this way.
But the picture, that picture is different. This is 130.
It's kind of flipped.
It's really hard, you know, addresses are, it's really hard on this because the project is so new, you've got to wait for addresses to be officially given to you, and so that was the best, you know, the best we can, you know, from the map purposes to show you a pin.
This should look like 130. So go back to the here's 130.
And then so it's 130.
Right.
So it's really right at this end.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay.
There's a
and it's such a large tract, that's why.
There's a tremendous amount of activity planned. And again, think about this being done in two and a half years, maybe, from now.
Well, that was my question. I'm sure all up and down, one-third, there's all kinds of stuff being planned. But right now, there's not much out there.
Correct. And when we bring this deal to you for subsequent times, we'll have some... like we've tried to do, we'll some future development plans so you can see some of the growth that's coming. This is a state law requirement, I believe.
Yeah, today's the sole purpose is to solicit commentary from those who want to talk about it. So.
And it's about 2.5 years out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're estimating closing in January if permits come in. And so it'll be at least a 2-year construction phase.
So this is in the city's ETJ?
Yes, sir.
So you don't have to worry about as many permitting issues, zoning issues?
Maybe not zoning, but the permitting I hear is kind of hard with the county.
Who provides the water out there? Is it Manville?
I can get that information.
City of Austin, I'm pretty sure. Huh? I'm pretty sure that's City of Austin. I'm City of Austin.
That's what I was thinking.
There's no other public comment, then we'll close the public hearing, and we'll bring this back to the board with fuller information about locations and specifics about the transactions, lenders, and all those details. That comes back probably December. Right. Next item, Mr. Chairman, is the Citywide Advisory Board update, and Felicia Barnes is here to provide us with that.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Meeting was called to order at 10:04 a.m. by myself, Felicia Vargas. We had a speaker, Dominique Demonica Foster with Austin Eric Urban Lee stated that she will start the pathway to career on Monday, October the 14th at AAUL. Ms. Pilar Sanchez provided RAD updates. Mike Gerber mentioned staffing changes at Hawker. Pilar Sanchez will serve as an acting vice president of community development. Cecilia Blanca will continue to serve as the chief operations officer, as well as oversee housing operations. Mike invited residents to Chalmers South grand opening on November the 7th. Tracy Yetter provided digital inclusion updates. And we also had error reports. The following was provided: error reports, Thelma at North Loop, Floyd at North Gate, Anna Davis at Bolden, and Jesse at Gaston. Hawker Community Development Announcement, Liliana mentioned the update standards of procedures for turkey districts. Liliana congratulated the Resident Council for a well-organized national night out on October the 1st across all the properties. Murphy Rowland shares update for Job Plus, Workforce Development, and IDAD. Property 5 people provided property updates. New business, Evelyn Holman provided potential location for 2020, citywide advisory board calendar. Myself, Felicia Vargas, appointed Lupe Garcia as a new citywide advisory secretary, and meeting was adjourned at 11:45 a.m. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is your first visit to this property?
Yeah, I like it. I look forward to going back because I talk to some of them. They know when I'm coming to the board because sometimes it's on the calendar. So they always give me something to talk about. This time I have something to talk about. This is a good feeling. It's an awesome feeling. And on behalf of myself and other people that are on housing, I think y'all do a great job. It's because of you guys that make us motivated every day and want to do good in life and make us feel comfortable. So thank you guys very much for making us residents feel comfortable, like we belong, like we're not less than other people, and making us feel like we belong like everyone else. So thank you so much for everybody that's living in their new apartment. I'm so happy for them. I like my apartment, though. I done got older since I've been there, so it's like it's more gold. I like it, and then I like the job that I do every month because I've been doing it since. It took me a while when I first started on the board. I wasn't comfortable about being around people because of the things I've been through as far as abuse and being treated badly. But because of Haka, one day this guy Ben knocked on my door, and he made me feel different. So I'm able to come out with people now, and I like it. I like being around people. I like motivating people, and I just wait on the day that God could lead me to do more than what I'm doing with what he gave me, because I know I could do it better.
Let me just say this, if you are concerned about growing over, talk to Tara, because she made a comment when I talked about all of us are not getting younger, and I think she took exception to that, so she may have some secret thoughts that she can share with you.
I would like that. I would really like that, and thank you guys again, with all my heart, on behalf of Hawker and our residents. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the service you provide to your development as well as to the citywide advisory board, and the comments that you've shared with us this morning, I know it's touched everybody's heart. I know it's made everybody's day. So no matter how their week has been, you have just lifted us all up, and that's what life is all about. So
I'm gonna go home and think I'm the world that you can't tell. I already think I did. I love y'all with all my heart. Thank y'all, and I look forward to growing. And because when I first started, I was really scared to talk. So I think I can get better, and I'm watching, and I'm learning, and I'm paying attention.
You're doing great. bring your team on the 7th. We'd be honored to have the citywide advisory board here for the grand opening. So I hope you'll come.
And thank you very much. I don't mean to leave, but some of this stuff don't really work.
No. I'd be super so nice to take an extra cookie with that.
Thank you.
So the next item on the agenda is the informational presentation on the housing choice voucher administrative plan, and then after that we'll have I believe that's Lisa, and then after that we'll have Kelly, I believe, is presenting the presentation and discussion of the draft 2020 Public Housing Authority annual plan as well as the five-year plan. So we'll go with Lisa first and then we'll go with Kelly.
Good afternoon, commissioners.
Good afternoon.
So this is our annual review of our Housing Choice Voucher Administrative Plan, and we sort of take a look at it. We see what changes have happened throughout the year in terms of regulatory changes, and then also things that would help us to better administer the program locally. We're not asking for any action today. We're just asking you to review the changes and make any comments or suggestions, and we're going to go out for public comment for 30 days tomorrow, and then we'll bring it back to the board and the December 19th board meeting for approval. I can highlight a few of the changes. I included those in Exhibit 1 and also in Exhibit 2, and I'll just go through a few of those and are free to ask any questions that you might have.
Yeah, I was going to ask in the future if we could just have kind of an executive summary, because I went through it to identify and to help me with the highlighted portion of it. And I was thinking it might be a little bit easier if there was like an executive summary.
Okay, I'll do that. Would you all like me to go through some of the changes that were identified?
I would say just hit the high points.
Okay.
What do you think is the most salient thing that we need to know?
Okay. So just a few of the high points. I would say one of them was in the pages 435 through 436, we added the selection criteria for pathways at Chalmers Court East. We're going to have 50 project-based vouchers to include 8 VASH vouchers, and then also we're going to have 8 project-based vouchers at Cameron, East Riverside, and we have to just put in what is the selection criteria going to be when we start bringing folks in. And what we put that in there, the summary is just we're going to go ahead and have people taken from the Housing Choice Voucher wait list, and they'll have an opportunity, if they'd like to live at one of those properties as a project-based voucher. If we're not able to get enough folks that are interested from the regular Housing Choice Voucher waitlist, then those properties could refer directly to be added to the waitlist. But more than likely, we have roughly 1,900 on the waitlist right now. In terms of the selection criteria, in terms of getting into the properties, would follow with whatever, like Chalmers East, whatever the tenant selection criteria is. They'd have to meet that screening criteria. So that's one of the things. We did a few other changes just in terms of administratively, things that we find during the year in terms of families. For instance, one of them was in some cases families are requesting to change kind of household in order to pass the voucher down to another family member, let's say if they get married. So we put something in there that says if a head of house is trying to change a head of household to circumvent going through the waiting list, we could make an option to deny that change. We extended the initial voucher term. Right now, we give it 90 days. When we first issue out a voucher, we're extending that to 120 days just because it's really hard for folks to find housing in Austin. We can give an additional 30 days with a reasonable accommodation, but it just that helps without the administrative burden of having to do all these extensions. It just gives them a straight 120 days straight up. We put in something that we could, if we opted to, charge a fee for reinspections when we go out to do a reinspection of a property and it's not fixed. I don't know if we'll execute that, but we just want to have that option. Before we said we would never do that, but we want to have that option with owners. If we go out there to reinspect and it's still not fixed, if we wanted to charge a fee, we could do that. You're allowed to under the regulations. We also put in regards to increases in rents, owners request multiple increases in rents throughout the year, which after the first year of the lease, which is very administratively burdensome, as well as it costs a lot of money, it really increases our rates. So we put something in there where a new procedure in place so they can request up to one a year, and then we would process that change and we put some procedures in place with regards to that.
So let me ask you a question on that. So I'm thinking about my daughter who was in an apartment. So when I signed the lease, I signed it for a monthly amount for 12 months as opposed to 9 months.
Right.
But they didn't have the ability to come back. We locked in through a contract. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's what I'm kind of getting to. If we lock in a contract for 12 months, they're, you know, leasing this property to a voucher holder, then how is it they come back?
So after the first, yes, good question. So after the first year of the lease, after that, we don't have to, they don't have to necessarily negotiate another year's lease. They could just, it would roll to whatever the term is.
So it goes from month to month. Basically, after the first year, it's from month to month. Is that standard with all, with the apartment associations, all apartments around the city, they all have, they lock in for a year, and then after that, you don't resign, you just have a month to month lease?
Yeah, in most cases, but some owners do execute another lease.
Okay.
It just varies, but we were just...
Standard TAA lease works that way.
Yes, generally.
What do you mean by that way?
The Texas Department of Association has a standard lease, and most landlords are using that lease.
Correct.
And that provides for a one-year term of lease, and then it goes month-to-month after that.
Okay. Yep, in most cases.
So you don't have too many, once you get past the first year, when I was in college and in law school, we always worried about breaking our lease and moving someplace. You don't have that problem anymore after a year?
Well, in some cases, you know, they do want to move after the year. So it's really after that first year they can negotiate. Like an owner could sit with the tenant and say, we do want to sign another 4 years lease. But it's really up to the owner and the tenant to negotiate what they want to do that next year. They could decide to just continue with the 30-day, month-to-month. So it's really up to them to negotiate what they'd like to do. Because it's regular tenant-landlord rules apply, we can't, like, say you all have to sign another year lease, or we can't really enforce that.
What happens if they go way up? And so our voucher, whereas it might have been paying for a certain percentage, now drops to 50% or 40%. What do we do?
So, and that does happen right now.
I suspect it does.
It does. So, at the end of the first year term, the owner can request a rent increase with a 60-day notice. And then we do what's called a rent comparability study, and we look at what other unassisted units are going on the market. And then we have to approve that rent increase. But what we're seeing in the market, a lot of times the rents are going up to that amount. And then in some cases, families will have to make a decision if they can afford that additional increase or if they are going to need to move. We will step in some cases and, you know, just work with the owner and say, hey, this person's been here a long time. Could you just, you know, keep it lower? And so we'll do those kinds of negotiations. But in some cases, folks, what we're seeing is are having to make decisions to move to more affordable places. Thank goodness for awesome affordable housing and a lot of the property we have out there. But we are seeing that, especially where families have lived in areas, you know, East Austin's a perfect example, where rents were a lot lower and then a new owner might take over and increase the rent and the taxes. They need to pay their taxes, so that does happen.
Now, can we give, is there any such thing as an amended voucher where we go up?
As a reasonable accommodation for a person with a disability, we can go up to 120% of the published fair market rents. And we will do that. You know, we set our FMRs, they'll be probably coming to November. And generally, we've been setting at 100% of the FMRs. They're going to go up between 3% and 5% this year. And we will make that accommodation for folks that need it to stay in place as well.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a great question.
But it's limited to only people with disabilities, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, in essence, the issue you get, you're trying to address now is that you may have landlords who will come to you and they'll go increase their rent, try to increase rent 3 or 4 times within the same calendar year.
Okay. And how long do they, when we accept them into the Section 8 program, for how long?
In terms of the
landlord?
The landlord.
So once they agree to volunteer, to participate, then they start taking our residents and the vouchers, is there a time when, as long as they continue to...
As long as they choose to be a part of the program, they can remain in the program as long as they're...
Because it's a voluntary program.
It's a voluntary program. So they could choose to opt out at any time. Like they could decide, which we do have, if a new owner takes over, they buy a new property, they might decide, we've decided that we're no longer going to accept Section 8, and then they can give notices and people have to move. And then that's where we step in and we try to negotiate with them, let them know it's a good idea to stick with it.
Not to be political, but our current president's father, that's what he did. He went in and bought a lot of Section 8 properties and then flipped them. You know, basically, rather than maintaining the rents, he raised them and he had to leave. And then that's how he flipped them to luxury developments. It was part of how they made their money.
No comment.
But it was only that comment was only for
illustrious
purposes only.
The only other thing is we added something with regards to with annual re-exam appointments. I added something where it says we can be flexible to conduct them in person, by mail, or through an online certification process. Currently, the majority of them we do in person. We do go out and we'll do home visits for persons with disabilities, and we'll do some by mail. And we are introducing a streamlined certification process that will be starting in November, and we'll be able to do some online with a certification process. We'll probably still meet with folks. We like to have that face-to-face contact, but this gives us the option to have flexibility and more efficiencies with our re-exam process.
There's no edits from the board, or just changes from the board, then we'll take this out for 30 days comment and be bringing it back to you all in December.
Yeah, the only thing I would just recommend is just you did a really good job in terms of the narrative summary. If you could just add that, I think it'd be helpful.
Sure.
Yeah. Kelly? Mr. Chair, before we go to Kelly, if you wouldn't mind, it occurred that there's several folks who have been waiting who I think anticipated us wrapping up earlier. Would you mind if we jump to the presentation on the property real fast so we can get the property staff back doing their pointed rounds?
Sure.
Great. So Will Henderson is here from Carlton. Steve Sibyl is from Carlton Construction, who had a huge hand in building this beautiful building. Marlon Nixon is the property manager. Why don't you guys come up forward? Carol serves as our leasing agent assistant manager, and then Sylvester is our maintenance crew here. And sir, I'm sorry, I forget your name.
I'm Ron McCarty. I'm the Carlton management. I'm the regional manager.
Nice to see you, Ron.
Thank you.
Will, do you want to say a word or Marlon?
I think DeMarlon's going to do the bulk of it. Just want to say welcome to Chalmers South. It's the first of a couple of phases we're going to have here, so I hope you like what you see here. A lot of time and planning with the staff went into, you know, this is the culmination, talk about the deal Suzanne was in 2.5 years, so you know, this started 2016, so this is kind of the culmination of that, or the first step, with hopefully several more to come. We've got a great staff here on site for you. I think they're going to make a property here, run a property here that you're real proud of, have your residents relocate to time and again. So, again, quite a few of your residents are going to come through here in the next few years, and we think the staff is going to do a great job taking care of them.
Thanks, Will.
So, Bill, would you mind being a southern gentleman and yielding your seat to the young lady and Marlon and I forget her name. And for the record, would you mind just giving your name and then leading off with the presentation, and as each of you speak, just give us your name for the record, because we're recording the meeting. So go ahead.
All right. Name's DeMarlon Nixon, property manager for Chalmers South. First, I want to just say I'm glad that you all chose Chalmers South to have this board meeting. We're excited for all that's taking place. beautiful property that it is. I hope you all do approve. We're doing pretty good. The transfers over from Chalmers East to Chalmers South have gone pretty smoothly. Right now we're currently about 73% occupied, 63 units occupied, 23 that are vacant. We have two pre-leases and we're working four applications. So things are going pretty smooth.
Yeah. That's a record number of transfers. You know, I can tell you it's 73%. I'll wait for several months.
Several months, right, correct. Yes, sir.
And we're, what, 3 weeks?
Yeah. We love it. Yeah. Yeah. And then this is our system manager, Carol Martinez.
Yes, so my name is Carol Martinez. I am the assistant manager for Quality Management. So this is pretty much my first property managing. And it's been pretty amazing to see these residents transfer from that East Chalmers to a new South Chalmers. And getting to know each and every one of them is awesome, to be honest, yes. And I hope to see more faces like from south, from west also, so I'm pretty excited for the new things to come.
Yeah. So where are you two from?
I am originally from Lake Charles, Louisiana, and I've been in Austin for 7 years now.
Okay, so have you always been with Carlton, or were you with somebody else before?
I was with someone else.
Okay. And who was that?
I was with a company called Sage.
Okay.
I'm there from out in California.
Okay. Yeah. And you, Carol?
I am from Laredo, Texas. And I originally was with a pulmonologist doctor before this project came aboard. I came to Austin maybe 4 months ago. Yes, I've been in Austin 4 months ago.
Well, welcome to Austin.
Thank you.
All
right.
So that's your other question?
Yeah.
Well, I'm Sylvester Dove. I'm from Houston, Texas.
Say that again.
I don't like Austin.
No. Where are you from?
Houston.
Sound like Archie Bell. Correct. Houston, Texas. That's what I was thinking about. You probably don't know who Archie Bell was, but
Archie Bell, the running back?
No. Archie Bell and the Drills, they were an R&B group back in the day.
They did.
Oh, wow. No, I don't remember him.
You remember called Tighten Up?
Tighten Up.
Oh, yeah.
That's Archie Bell. It's Archie Bell. They're from Houston, Texas.
Oh. You know what?
You heard of Ronnie Long?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Did you know that a lot of the recordings that Ray Charles did, he did right there in Houston, Texas?
Oh, yes. Yes, sir.
Wow.
Yes, I understand that.
Well, you're talking to two guys who went to law school in Houston and been there for a while. So
TSU?
I went to teach at grad school. I went to U of H Law School in Chuck Law School.
Okay. Well, I've been... This is a different situation for me as far as maintenance-wise goes, and I love it. I love these residents. These kids, when they transitioned over here and they saw their apartment, the smile on their face, words cannot express the emotion that I had looking at those, you know, residents coming here. And they take pride in this place. And they're keeping it up. They're helping me keep it up.
Okay.
And so I enjoy it. And I just can't wait to see how further we're going to go with this.
Yeah. Well, I can tell how enthusiastic you are because, unfortunately, when I got out of my car, you were the first person I greeted at the property, and I was giving you trash. Mm-hmm. And you were excited that you thanked me for bringing it to you.
Yes, sir.
That's kind of unusual. But I know you're enthusiastic about your job in terms of the maintenance, the upkeep, and I certainly appreciate that. I actually lived in public housing as a kid, and one of my first jobs in the summer program, you probably never heard of this, but it was called the CETA program. It was the forerunner to JTPL, the Job Training Partnership Act. And I actually worked at the Public Housing Authority with the maintenance staff.
Oh, really?
And so I learned how to run a buffer.
Yeah.
And had to use a lawnmower and a lot of other tools that I learned sometime afterwards, I probably shouldn't have been using because I was only 14 and you need to be 16.
You learn how to get on those buffers and go up and down the hallway.
I did. Well, it was not going up down the hallways in the units because it was turning, getting the units to make ready for the next family that was coming in. Mm-hmm. So I can appreciate what you do.
Mary?
Yes, Mary?
Yes. I would like to say, since I've met these three wonderful people since I got here, they are just super. I always see him every morning, and he's just as enthusiastic as he is right now, every single day. And Carol, I've been to her office many, many times. The Marlins, they're always available. And they're approachable, and they're nice, and they're doing a great job. And I appreciate that.
That's great.
Why don't
you introduce yourself? I'm Ron McCarty. I'm the regional property manager of the property. And I'm honored to have this crew. It's a great crew. They're very dedicated. I've been doing this business for many years. I've been doing the affordable part since 1993. We worked together to get this project going. There was a lot of paperwork that had to happen in short period of time, and they were able to get that paperwork together. Our compliance team was able to pass it through and get it done so we can make these moves in time. So I like to give them the credit and compliance for that. You know, my work of the job is starting now that the project is open, so I'll be down here more often, and I look forward to making sure that we provide the home the residents deserve here.
Thank you.
I'd like to just mention that Steve Sewells is here, and Steve has done an incredible job with leading the construction team here and will be taking the lead in our efforts at Chalmers South. Steve, thanks from all of us. And maybe you want to add
your working with the council. They've been very gracious. Top to bottom, as we go through the process, it's an imperfect process at best, and so thanks for your graciousness and working with us every step of the way.
I'll brag on Steve for a sec, just as a sign of how confident we've been in the information he's given us and how he's conducted his business. We've had some other challenges at other places. Steve's been kind enough to, you know, for those of us who don't come with the kind of depth that he brings. He's helped us kind of think about some of those other challenges as well. And so not just been here, but thanks for being a resource to our agency. The last person I wanted to say who's been really kind of a part of the whole team out here today has been Mary. Commissioner Astolo has been hugely helpful in helping residents feel like they're going to be successful in transitioning to their new home. And Leilani, if I could ask you, right next to you, there's some flowers there. And those are for Mary.
Oh, yeah.
Just wants to say thanks to you. This is a sign, and it's just kind of like another typical day that we called Commissioner Stoller up on. I think we called her up like Saturday and said, hey, we got about 100 people that were hauling around on the day. We drive by. Oh, yeah, go bring them. No, never end of day. And we, the tours are going to stop at Mary's after November 7th. We're going to do November 7th. She's graciously opened up her doors to anyone who'd like to see her unit after this meeting today. So we'll go up there and you can see the new flowers there. But thanks. Thanks for being so warm and open to everybody.
They're all my neighbors and friends, so I wouldn't do it. There's nothing I wouldn't do for them. Especially the seniors and people who English isn't their first language. I like to help them. I don't have any thermostats I've adjusted for some reason.
Yeah.
Mary, can you please help us? It's Sunday, nobody's here, and yes, I'll go and adjust the thermostat. So I should be working with you, Sylvester.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've been great, and you've welcomed everybody, and she's been happy and kind and gracious, and she's got this wonderful dog, Gracie. And I don't think Gracie's so happy. Another 100 people coming over in the kennel. Thank you. And thanks to the entire team out here. We really appreciate it. Will, anything else you want to And we're moving to Chalmers East next.
Next up, you can't see it from here, or you can see the fencing is out here, but inside there's crews furiously at work doing abatement, taking out utilities, getting things cut off and removed, so that hopefully in 3 weeks or so when we're back here for the groundbreaking, you'll see a lot of activity and see a lot less buildings and things over there. So it's going to be very exciting. It's a little hard to see right now, but I think when we meet back here in a couple of weeks, it's going to be a changed site over there. It's going to look a lot different. And just one thing I could add, we talked about how many people transfer here. A big thank you to the Hawkins staff. We've never dealt with a more professional staff when it comes to relocation and things like that. Usually, a lot of housing authorities kind of throw their hands up and like, I don't know, you guys figure it out. Your staff is all over everything. Relocation was definitely a moving target, and they were very accommodating and very helpful, and always right there if we needed something. So a big thank you to them.
Yeah, we've had an amazing team, and the leader of that crew has been Tiffany Middleton by far, and it's extraordinary. Tiffany, anything you want to add to the mix? But it's a huge accomplishment to get, you know, what, 80% of the residents moving over here, feeling that they can do it successfully, and I mean, you deal with every issue under the sun, and you've protected their interests. So, Andy, you want to add?
I'll just echo what you just said. This was a great team to work with, and I think we all had our hands in the whole process all together. So there wasn't one issue that I was dealing with that Steve didn't have to be concerned with, that Millard didn't have to hear about, that it was the whole team that came together. And if we had concerns about things, you guys were great with helping us address those concerns so that we could keep moving forward. I mean, we had a deadline, we had dates that could be changed, and so whatever needed to happen, the team just came together and made it happen. So kudos to you all.
So Will and Steve, let me say thank you to both of you all. Because you've been my deadline. You all first brought this project to us, and we were discussing. I asked whether you could be finished by October of 2019, and because I had some international folks who I wanted to see this project, and you guys were able to do it. And we actually had about 80 folks that came over on Monday and saw it, and they were impressed with it. The lady from Ireland said that she had never seen anything like this before, and I was, you know, tickled to death to brag on you all. And so we really appreciate it, because you made us look good, not just in the eyes of the folks here, the residents, but of folks, of our colleagues around the country, as well as in Canada, South Africa, New Zealand, and in Ireland. So we really appreciate it. So we got a chance to show your work off. So who knows, you may get a phone call from, as they say, across the pond.
Places sound pretty exciting. Trying my hand at doing some work on those places.
So thank you to each and every one of you all for what you've done. This is, I love it when a plan comes together, and I'll invite other commissioners to have a say at this time.
I've got one comment, and it's as y'all will recall, to say I was dubious about turning over one of our properties to somebody other than our employees is putting it mildly. From a management standpoint, have you got the tools that you need to make sure the work gets done according to where you want it done?
Yeah, I think we're in pretty constant contact, and the oversight's pretty intense. We're here on a daily basis, and you know, we're looking at managed reports and numbers, and I think we feel pretty good about it. Pilar and Michael, if either of you would like to chime in.
We have a really long checklist of the things that we'll be checking on every month. From weekly and month reports, bank statements, and visiting the site a lot. We're trying to really set the cord and make sure that this is managed by CMS, but we've almost been seamless. So we've got a long list of things that we'll be checking on.
What happens if we have an employee that needs to have some sort of action taken against? Who does that?
If it's a CMS employee, then CMS would take action on their employee.
Even though it occurs on our property?
I think there'd be, depending on what the circumstance was, but we would have the ability to...
I'm sure we have a contract that addresses this.
We do, but HR issues get handled by CMS, just as our HR issues would be handled by us. But if we ever felt like we had issues, maybe on some of the softer things, like the management team here not working collaboratively with residents, not being respectful to the residents, we'd be having a series of discussions, and we have the ability to take action if we need to. But we feel, from a corporate culture standpoint and from a HACA culture standpoint, I think we're pretty much in agreement about how we want to succeed with this property. While we intend to have these properties, all managed by, this is our first go at outsourcing, property management, we're looking at it really carefully. And if we needed to make a change, we've made changes before with property management. We wouldn't hesitate to make changes again. We made changes at Springdale not too long ago when we switched management companies. That happens. We moved property managers around in our public housing property. We never like to let people go, but we do so. And I suspect, knowing the expertise and commitment to excellence that Carlton brings, if we needed to make changes, we would. We're excited by this particular management team. One thing that DeMarlin brings, that I think is helpful. We've got unique residents with unique challenges here, maybe more so than at other properties. DeMarlin brings a bit of a pastoral background, which I think is an extra gift. I think that we've just seen a general, we've seen a lot of compassion and a lot of empathy working through tough situations. So we're feeling good.
Well, let me put my lawyer hat on. I know y'all hate it.
We can do
it when I do that. But if one of their employees violates somebody's civil rights and we get sued, are we going to get sued?
If I had to guess, probably. And
yeah, I would guess so too.
And we would work through that issue. We retain all the insurance coverages and protections, and
I'm just raising questions right now. If everybody says everything is good, I'm happy. But it's just a little bit different, and anytime you have the public-private partnerships, I get concerned about the liability of this board that has a fiduciary duty over all of these properties. And it's more than just fiduciary duty, because it's a governmental function. My old saw. If legal counsel is satisfied, then I'm okay. I just want to make sure it's been addressed.
Bill's got to say a word in just a second, but I'll tell you that since 2004, when you bought 2003, when you bought Sterling Village, we've had other outsourced management running these properties, and I think the risks have been well navigated through 25 properties, and I think we, in this case, we will apply those same principles and protections. And make sure that they're memorializing our contracts to protect us all. But weird things happen. We've had weird things happen in our portfolio. Weird things will happen in our public housing portfolio. But we feel really confident that we've got the right legal team, in other words, and insurance protections to protect us all and to work through it. Bill, you want to add a couple words?
Sure thing. The ownership of this transaction, like the other ones, is structured again. To the maximum extent possible, to isolate the Housing Authority way. The only participation the Housing Authority itself has in this deal is the owner of the land. Its affiliate, through a single purpose entity, is the one that participates in the ownership as a further shield against that. And so, absent some actual bad action on behalf of the Housing Authority or its staff, we were unaware of a way that they could actually, they could sue the Housing Authority.
Sue anybody,
right, sure, but there would be no basis to actually get to the Housing Authority and great AHC.
So we have no liability for the actions of our property managers?
The partnership itself may have liability, but the Housing Authority itself and AHC wouldn't have direct liability.
And the directors?
No, sir.
Okay. Periodically I'm going to raise these liability issues.
No, I think they're important. And we've actually asked Bill and Barry to do a little bit of additional research, probably prepare some kind of opinion on it to make sure that we're, as we do more of this, make sure that we're, we've got all the questions we need. And we need also to talk to, you know, our insurance carriers and others to make sure we've got the right, you know.
And well, yeah, and apparently this is going on all over the country, so it's not like I'm asking a question that hasn't been asked.
Right.
That's correct.
Right.
So the one thing I would ask, Mike, is... and I'm not sure whether the Carlton property is, whether you all have anybody on staff who does media relations. Media relations?
Not on staff here, but at our at the home office.
That's what I'm saying, at your home office.
Those interactions.
But I think it would behoove you and whoever they have to, you know, call Ken Herman and go sit down with them in advance of the groundbreaking.
Oh, yeah.
As a way to promote this. And then try to find a way to give the media a tour of this property, either in advance of the groundbreaking. It would be great, generate more interest, because my sense is if you invite, you know, Quay T. Evans out and folks like that, and I don't know the specific personalities in the Hispanic media, but if, to the extent you can invite them out to come and take a tour of this process, I think you could generate more interest, because this is a great story to tell for us. You know, we're 81 years old now, and so this is sort of a new chapter of what we're able to do. And then again, like I said, again, it's always, we're talking about this, if there's some kind of way you can take this and put it part of a presentation. It's something that when we talk about, when we talk about in our strategic, you know, plan, the one thing I think we don't do a good enough job of, and that's primarily because we're focused on housing folks, is to tell the story to the media. Ken Herman is somebody who's taken interest in what we do, and I think he'd be happy to come out here, and maybe somebody with the Tribune, because I know the Tribune has a person who does housing, you know, really focus on us, but it's another way to sort of get our story out there in a very positive light, especially given what is being talked about in terms of housing now. All the stories regarding homelessness, it's all very negative, but I just think there's another story to be told, so, and working with them directly would be a way to find, to get above sort of all the noise that's taking place. So I think it would be good if you can get with their media folks, you know, call Ken Herman, go to the Statesman, maybe do an editorial, invite them to come to the property. I think it's worth the time and energy.
Carlton's got a third party contractor that's doing this communications work, and we've been having weekly meetings with them, and we'll add that to them. We've talked about other press and outreach and doing some tours and interviews with residents, so I think we're all thinking about the same way.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. We're doing, you know, general press release to, you know, to all comers, but if you have specific folks you'd like us to reach out to, you think they might be interested in coming and doing a tour beforehand, I think that would be great.
Ken Herman with Austin
America's
Statesman. Yeah, Ken Herman with Austin America's Statesman. He and I go back to the governor's office. I know he and Chuck know each other, and so there's a personal. In fact, Ken and I used to play basketball on Sunday nights when I was in the governor's office.
Yeah, our office didn't care for him, but.
Like, he's covered in a very positive manner. Like when we had the dispute over on Rosewood. He actually was very pro-housing authority, whereas there was another journalist with the same paper that took the opposite position. And I'd see him time to time at the Capitol, and he always asked me. So I think, you know, again, to the extent you got somebody who's a friend of the media, take advantage of it.
Absolutely. No, we can definitely kind of reach out to them a little more in depth than we would some other folks out there, and see what we can work out.
All right. So any more?
No, that's it.
So we'll go back to then we'll go to Kelly and the presentation of the annual plan and the five-year plan.
Good afternoon, Commissioners.
Good afternoon.
We do this every year. We come back with the draft annual PHA plan, but it's starting to change now because we're getting out of public housing business. This plan is going to start getting smaller. And cover only the Housing Choice Voucher Program in the future. So, and it's also time for our five-year plan, which we update and the annual plan anyway. So it's kind of a duplicative process this year. And again, no formal vote is required of y'all. And I heard you, Mr. Ritchie. I know it's a very voluminous document. And what I'll do next year is I will take this page 46 of 100, which is the executive summary. I don't know why we put it back there. I'm going to put it up front next time so that you can see what the changes are. So for the most part, the annual plan, we removed quite a bit of public housing information, and we updated the same items that Lisa just spoke to you about in her admin plan on this, because it's kind of a ready source of our policies. And we updated the progress in the rental assistance demonstration program. So on the on page 46, which is the executive summary, it's pretty short. We updated the areas that I just explained. So we're going to put this out, and the five-year, which I'll talk to you about in a moment, which is attachment two. We're going to put this out for a 45-day comment period starting tomorrow, and it will have three public hearings, and then the final will be in December on the 19th at the board meeting, where we'll have incorporated any comments that were relevant and germane to the document. So for our five-year plan, what we did is we put out on here our goals and objectives for the next 5 years. This document's going to change some, as it should. We've recently gone through strategic planning, and we've added a few more items. So that, as that becomes finalized, we'll update this document to reflect that. We also put our progress into this document for the last 5 years to show how successfully we've met these goals and objectives from the last 5 years. And so the next that's the next bit. I mean, that's really that document's pretty short. Okay. So does anybody have any questions?
Any questions?
It took a lot longer to do it than for me to explain it. and I think I did a better job of doing it than explaining it.
With that, it was the informational presentation. There's no action required on the board, so I would say thank you both to you and to Lisa. And then we will go to the consent agenda.
Hey, one question.
Yes.
Who do we tend to get comments from when you submit these for?
Typically, it would be one of our legal aid.
Council.
Yeah. right. I mean, and those are the people that we actually are mailing comments to. I mean, we want them to review it. We want them to provide those comments. And so we do that. We're in the process of mailing them out to all of our presidents of our resident advisory boards and to community leaders that have been identified over the last decade or two. So we actually send physical copies to them for them so that it's very easy for them to do so.
We're not anticipating much in this one. Next year we'll incorporate the elements of the new strategic plan, and so that might generate some additional comment, but this one, they're not big departures from last year to this year. Mm-hmm.
And as a heads up, so that we can get you the information typically at one time in the year, we're going to start next year in bringing all the types of rules and policy changes that are done on an annual basis in September, is Mr. Gerber's request. So that'll be at the September board meeting, and so that will be the meeting that you'll generally see most of these items.
So you're excited. Any comments about the plan? Without further ado, then we'll take this out for public comment and we'll report back to you all in December.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, the next item is on the consent agenda. It's we have two items on the consent agenda. The first, the ordinance summary for September 19th. And then the second is approving the write-off, non-collectible amounts for vacated tenants. And you'll have in front of you, provided by Martha, kind of a description of why the write-off, deceased residents or eviction and non-payment. You'll notice that the fraudulent repayment agreement is nearly $18,000. That's actually about 20% of that amount of the total. So this is how it's really broken down.
So let's do this. Let's take this item number two off the consent agenda and move to the discussion agenda because I have a couple of questions or really comments about it. And let's go with the approval of the board minutes from the September meeting. So the chair will entertain a motion to approve the board minutes summary for the board meeting held on September 19, 2019. Motion by Commissioner Apostolo.
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Carrington. Is there any discussion? Yes.
One of the items that we will be approving is the, or rather the minutes about the CIS and the $600,000 contract that we voted on with them. Now it seems to me that we also had as part of that discussion last month the possibility of trying to figure out a more objective type of evaluation of outcomes, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And even though it did not appear in the minutes, I just want to make sure that we are all on the same page in terms of what that process would include.
So we did have that discussion, so I'm recognizing you on a motion to amend the minutes to make sure that that language is included in there going forward. So motion by Commissioner Duncan Hall, seconded by Commissioner Apostolo.
To include a process by which we determine whether or not we wish to have a third objective party evaluate the outcomes, or that the process include a more definitive evaluation process.
Okay. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the amendment to the minutes is adopted, and now I'll recognize again Commissioner Duncan Hall for a motion to approve the minutes as amended. Commissioner Apostolo is the second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. We'll go to the uncollectible accounts of vacated tenants. I really appreciate you providing this. As I was reading through it, thinking that this is a public document, I know you've tried to be cautious with it, and I think you shared with me your intent to take a step further. And so, for those to give you a little bit to ring in on the discussion, if you look at your backup material, it does list the party's last name.
First name, last initial.
First, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, I think rather than putting this out in the public domain, since this is a public document, mm-hmm. that we ought to use something that's less descriptive. And I think you said that the tenants are assigned a number?
Yes.
So use a tenant's number in the future so that somebody who may be having, obviously if you're living in public housing, your financial situation is not the best, but if you're able to recover from that, you don't have this haunting you, because again, while this document may get destroyed, mm-hmm. If it's on the internet, it's there for lifetime. Mm-hmm. And so I appreciate you thinking of that. And so I welcome any further discussion on it. And if not, then Ms. Ross, you have the floor.
Okay. So the total amount that we have written here is $92,392. Of that, only $207 is
from low-income public housing, which is the required amount that we're supposed to approve every 6 months, and HACA's opted to also disclose the write-offs for review by the board. So that's the additional amount. And this schedule outlines the reasons. There's one in particular that was the largest contributor to the balance of $92,185 in the converted properties. If we exclude that one, we would be at 3.1% of the tenant revenue in total. And this schedule includes more than tenant rent, not revenue, but tenant rent. It includes legal charges, maintenance, other utility, other reasons for non-payment. The way we budget for it is 2% of tenant rent. So this is a little bit higher this period. The prior 6 month period, we had 1.5% of tenant rent, and the period before that is 1.9. So this being at about 3% is higher. So that indicates stepped up activity and evictions in the RAD rules, which is a good thing for all the other tenants. And this also has a little bit of a catch-up period with the four properties that were converted. November, December, Thurman, Rosarita, San Rita, Rosewood. So those were included. Those last 2 months were included in this total when they converted to RAD. So it's a little bit higher. What we should also look at is this is the write-offs are taken to the board. So we have our financial statements are representative of the true amount that's due. We don't overstate it, so we keep the bad debts balanced with the real rent, so it's a net of what we actually are collecting. We also show on our budget, so if you look at one of these, at some point we're going to change this format, but we also have bad debts budgeted at 2%. We have vacancy budgeted at 5%. So those, and we're at August, the August package that you have, we're coming in at less than 5% vacancy. We're well below that. So, before we processed these, we were just a little bit short. We were just below 2%. So I think this is permanent increase, unfavorable to the 2% is what I'm saying. But what we're going to, we should also look at vacancies if we're going to look at that. So we're doing much better on having a lower vacancy rate than we budget. We're doing a little bit worse on these bad debts.
Okay.
So as part of the budget revision and the next budget process, we're going to look at some of these, including some of the older repayment agreements that came in from low-income public housing where the tenant was trying to keep up with it, and then they just couldn't.
Any questions?
I've got one. What is this big deal? $17,000 fraud repayment agreement. What is that?
We had a resident at Santa Rita who, after conversion through the tools that HUD provides to us, EIB, we found that she had unreported income for a long period of time before conversion. So we charged her. It's about $10,000 of that is the previous amount that she had paid, and so she skipped out.
Instead
of signing an agreement with us
and
paying us, she left.
Okay.
I gotta say, that's one of the reasons why I'm not unhappy to have names listed in the next lieutenant's name. We're running a business. These folks are getting a taxpayer supported benefit. We have expectations of people to pay their rent, and we do collect. We don't send collection agencies after them as others would do. We actually it's limited. We have a limited collection effort, but it's not as aggressive as it is in some other things that we do now.
Have we had hired anybody to take arts for us?
Actually, Kobanos is going to be Wilson Stoker and his team are taking over that work.
Okay.
But that's a collection piece of the different. This is also a different part of it.
My concern is I just remember when I was in college walking into the the convenience store and seeing somebody who wrote a diet check for $2.58 and it's posted and everybody sees it. And so for the rest of their life, you know that person wrote a hot check in college for $2.58. And at that point in time in their life, come on.
I wasn't in Lubbock, was it?
It was in Commerce, Texas.
I will tell you that in the public housing program, HUD requires us to enter the debt into the EIB system. They don't do that in the program that we converted to, but HUD is planning to do that. So anytime a resident leaves with a debt, we enter into the system, and housing authorities across the nation will be required to review that before they let them move in. So we do get residents come back years later and they want to move in somewhere else and to pay us back so we can move in there.
Yeah, I mean, and again, I don't want us to be punitive because, let's put it this way, I was in the section, I had Section 8 property in North Carolina. I had somebody walk out on me in the middle of the night. And so I'm stuck, and they trashed out the property and everything. The only thing I could do was I just had to report it to the credit bureau and just let it go. But I wasn't trying to chase them down and this, that, and the other. And I understood they were having problems because they were behind rent for 3 months. So, but in the scheme of things, we're not trying to ruin somebody's life. And I just think when you put somebody's name out there and it ends up on the internet, that's something that somebody's going to always see. And I just think we got to be careful with that because we're trying to help people up. And again, you have people who want to come back. And if they're able to pay that debt off and they have nothing outstanding against them, then we should be willing to work with them.
And we also have a cousin process, I suppose, to collections in the Fair Credit Reporting Act. So that limits even bankruptcies to 7 years on credit reports. So when someone goes to another property, their landlord will run a credit check, and they would have to give them permission to run the credit check. So it should, fall off, and that process works just fine. The same thing, I suppose, on the legal side, if you put in the words fraud next to someone's name or criminal, there's another process for that to be able to act as searchable public records.
So the chair will entertain a motion to approve the write-off for the previous 6 months.
So moved.
Motion by Commissioner Duncan Hall. Second by Commissioner Apostillo. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. Thank you, Martha. We'll go to item number 3, which is.
Sure,
The chair will entertain a motion to let you adjust that one. Second. Okay. There's been a motion by Commissioner Carrington, seconded by Commissioner Apostillo, to approve the board meetings for the June 26, 2019 board meeting of the Austin Affordable PFC Inc. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. We go to item number 2.
This is the final time you will see Bridget Granada. We are partnering with Journeyman Group for the first time on this new construction. Sorry about the map. We don't have internet access, so I can't go to the Google map. There's about the middle of the screen. So the closest properties we have are, one of our RAD properties is George and Maynard, one of our, which is about, I think it's...
This is
Coronado? No.
No, this is
183
going northwest.
I think it's right north, just a little bit north of...
It's 183.
Yeah.
The map in your books shows.
Sorry, you
I thought I had labeled this one.
This is 183 going to the airport this way.
Yes, sir.
Correct.
And there's a big Walmart and be on the left hand side.
Right.
Going Cameron Road is coming up somewhere around this area. So the property we're talking about is here. So it's going I-35 going towards Breaker Lane. Breaker will be up here.
So Georgia Manor is just a little bit
Georgia
Manor
west, west
of
the
board. And then Thurman Heights is a couple blocks over.
And I want to introduce journeyman grid Sam Kumar, and then his team, Tracy Marino, Kurt Brohl, and Ross Hamilton. And they've done a phenomenal job.
Suzanne, could you say his name again?
Sam Kumar.
My ears stopped if I went swimming and I had some water.
This is Sam Kumar.
Sam Kumar. Nice to meet you, Sam.
Nice to meet you, Chairman and Commissioners. Thank you all for giving us this opportunity to come and work with you. We are elated at this opportunity, and it's been a pleasure working with, starting with Mr. Gerber. And I want to say, take a minute, Suzanne, and let the commission know and the chairman know that when I called Mr. Gerber, that was about 2 years ago, he answered the phone, and I said, you know, the first time I'm calling somebody and somebody answers the phone, and immediately agreed to a meeting, and we were elated to go meet with them in their office. And Mr. Ron Kowal and Suzanne have been great last 2 years working through City of Austin and the zoning and the neighborhood, and it's been eye-opening for us. We are market-rate developers, and came out and wanted to do something good and wanted to be in the affordable space, and it's been a really great experience for us, and thank you for working with us.
And Dream has done a great job in the community, and Sam's been active in homeless efforts here in the city as well, so we appreciate your leadership in that.
Thank you.
So JCI Residential, LLC, so how long have you all been active in Austin, and how many affordable housing developments deals have you done?
Chairman, we have been in Austin. I've been in Austin for 30 years. We started in our multifamily career with JCI Residential about 10 years ago, and we did our first projects called Silverado Crossing, right here in Buda, Texas. And now we've done about 3,100 units so far. We are blessed. You know, Austin has been great to us. And I had the ability, or I had the, I was fortunate enough to serve with the Front Steps Board with ARCH, the Austin Resource Center for the Homeless. And my partner, Kurt Gall, and I, after being serving on the Homeless Board, or the Front Steps Board for the Homeless Facility here, we wanted to do something good in the affordable space. So we located this land, and we wanted to do something with them. Actually, we went to them and said, hey, there's a project we'd like to do. And when they had some leadership changes, and I was serving as a board member there, and when we couldn't do the project there is when I brought it to HACA. And this is our first project. So 3,100 units of multifamily that completed or in the process of completing, and this is our first project. And to be honest with you, we would like to do 1 to 2 projects a year in the affordable space going forward. We would like to do about 900 units in the market rate side, and as a commitment to the community, we would like to do 1 to 2 projects going forward a year.
Very admirable on your part. I just wanted to get a little more background about your firm and what you all are doing, and I would say don't be afraid about this being the first one, because we all have to start somewhere. Usually the first job we get out of college, we probably haven't done it before in our lives, but somebody has to give us a chance. And seems like, you know, I trust Mike and his staff, Ron and Suzanne, do some very good vetting. I know they, because we have a ton of folks knock on our door. But so anyway, just relax and let's go forward.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
So just a little bit of background. You've seen this project 3 times. First in November of last year for the inducement for the bonds. Again in March for the tax credit application. resolution, and then again in August for the public hearing. We did have a couple of people that showed up from the neighborhood. They were more just interested in what the project was going to look like. So after the public hearing, Ross and Tracy were great. They set up a meeting. We met, we used the community room at George and Maynard. They brought samples of the finishes and everything. Everybody was really excited about the new project coming up. The Journeyman Group has been phenomenal in communicating with the neighborhood. This has been a really time-intensive project for them. The original site were several single-family lots that they purchased and they replatted so that now we can, and rezoned so that now that we can do 258 family units. This is 233 units at 60% area median family income, and then another 25 at market rate, because a lot of times when a new project comes up and it's the tax credit, you get a lot of over-income people applying. So we've got that little buffer so that we can also place those. The lender is going to be Mason Joseph. It's going to be a HUD loan. And our equity provider is RBC, who did our first five RAD transactions. And this is slated to close hopefully in the middle of November. And we do have kind of a site plan.
Tracy's got some bigger pictures.
An actual rendering of the project, the clubhouse. This is Powell Lane and Wansley. This is the south of it, just to give you an idea of what it looks.
Okay. Before I lose my train of thought, because I'm over 60, I'm 60. So, Suzanne, you said you have some room for people who have over income?
Over the 60%.
Okay. Do we notify our tenants? Because going back to the previous item where we had this tenant who was over income, we caught up with them and they walked on us. I'm just thinking, is there a way to work with them and say, okay, here's an opportunity to go into a place rather than you walking, mm-hmm. and then try to find a way to work out some sort of agreement to get that money back? My sense is we probably have a number of folks who will walk on us once they realize they're over income and trying to go back and collect back from them. Because one of the things you learn as a lawyer, you figure out a way, you get a client, but you got to figure out how, or not just a lawyer, but when I was with THU Energy, you get a client, but you've got to be sticky. You got to find a way to keep them. And even when they got problems, work with them through the problems to maintain them. So that, because at some point in time, that money that they were giving you, that they walk on, they're giving it to somebody else. And so you don't have to answer that now, but I didn't want to lose that train of thought.
I've worked very closely with the RAD team as the residents rents are increasing or whatever. We've been trying to place them in one of our properties.
Okay.
Now, obviously the subsidy doesn't transfer with them. So,
okay.
But we do, as soon as we start pre-leasing, I get with Nancy Green in the Section 8 department and get the property set up so that we can start taking housing choice voucher applications as well.
Okay. Well, I like that. Bring her.
It's really we Austin Affordable have never done this type of roof, and I'm really excited about it. They said it's very hardy, it withholds things.
Is it hardy or
plank?
It's clay tile.
Okay.
This is what we do on a lot of our market rate stuff, and it translates really well. We're really excited about bringing this type of product to the city of Austin.
Withstands the weather, ages very well.
Can Black you move around just right behind Suzanne so that my two fellow commissioners can record you?
That doesn't show it. The lighting's not too good.
Sorry, I didn't realize it was standing behind you.
Yeah, so the neighborhood was also very, very excited about what it's going to look like. And it's a bit different than anything we've built.
Yes, sir.
I was also just going to say another thing we're doing for the neighborhood is we're building a trail that's going to connect Wansley to Powell Lane to give access to the recently renovated Georgian Acres Park. We also made a significant donation there to help get that over the hump, and they're actually supposed to be breaking ground on that here in the next couple of weeks. So we're really excited about that and providing a safe walkway for them to use rather than just cutting through and what was essentially trespassing before.
Andrea, can you go back to the map so we can kind of see the...
It's on the left side of your screen there.
Oh, okay.
So Wansley is at the bottom and Powell Lane is at the top, so it'll just go on the left side of our property.
And then so it'll extend out into a park?
It goes into a park that's just across the street on Powell Lane.
Okay.
So it'll go north.
Sounds good.
And we have donated a significant portion of the money from the project to the parkland to make sure the neighborhood is happy with the amenities they want to get in the park.
Oh, that's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we want the neighborhood to be happy.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I just want to add quickly that the residual impact of this is going to be, I think, going to really be impactful in that it's a poor, you know, we have Georgian Maynard, it's a tougher neighborhood, it's a poorer neighborhood. One of the original concerns of the neighborhood is we're building 60% in already a market that's already saturated with 60% units, and why are we doing that? And so we're seeing two things. Since we platted this property, got the zoning change, four apartment complexes have already changed hands to private investors, already looking for the next best thing to increase rents. The other thing is there's several affordable properties, if not a majority of them, that are not at the best standards. And they're always the poorest of the poor, they're the most run down. Mm-hmm. These people in that neighborhood are now going to be able to move into this project at the same rent. They're going to lose, all those owners are going to lose all those affordable units because they're going to come here at this new project. It's going to basically force those other project owners to upgrade their properties, to build a better facility, take care of what they've been neglecting for years, you know, in the past. So mm-hmm. we've kind of ignited this neighborhood. I think Councilmember Kassar was really pleased as he started seeing the results of what's happening, because he's very aware of what's trading out there. So I think we're on the cutting edge of this, and I think we're going to force a lot of good things to happen in this surrounding neighborhood that's kind of been abused for a long time by a lot of these owners, taking advantage of the poor communities, because these people are going to be able to come in all brand new amenities, brand new everything, and it's going to force these owners to upgrade their apartments if they want to keep their residence. So it's just going to have a good residual value to it.
And at the community meeting, a representative from Austin ISD was there, and he was really excited about this. He even offered for future meetings that we have throughout the process of building this, that we could meet maybe possibly at one of their schools. So they're tremendously excited about that. We have committed.
They have an elementary school.
They have an elementary school right here in this.
Okay.
Be a brand new elementary school. They're in the process of rebuilding that thing.
Yeah.
Which school is it?
T.A. Brown.
And it's like state of the art. They brought a rendering of it. It's very, very nice. Okay. So what we want to do is continue the meetings so that the community is kind of involved and knows what's going on. Possibly some hard hat tours throughout the process.
There's a new Frost Bank is like right in here. Are they aware of it? What we're doing? Because they're kind of like a anchor right on the inside. Just kind of, I think they'd be interested just in terms of the community, because Betty is always involved with their community stuff.
Right.
She
does financial literacy classes for all my tax credit properties, so right. We're definitely going to get her involved.
And that's where I was going with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, in fact, she's stopped doing financial literacy classes for anybody else in the city. She only does them for my project.
Okay.
Bill, any issues from a legal standpoint?
No, sir. What you have before you, as with prior transactions and basically the same structure, is a bundle of resolutions because of the various HACA entities that are participating. Austin Affordable is acting as a conduit issuer here for short-term bonds that are cash collateralized, and that's the motion under, or the resolution under consideration right now. AHT will have a wholly owned affiliate participating on the in the ownership of the transaction. And then the housing authority itself will participate in the limited capacity of owning the dirt underneath the project itself.
Any corporate bail issues?
None that we haven't discussed, but again, the housing authority
I brought that up last
time. So, Mr. Chair, we would ask for approval of resolution number 56 on the Austin Affordable PSC agenda, authorizing the issuance of sale and delivery of multifamily housing revenue bonds, authorizing the execution of related documents, and other actions necessary to Bridget Granada.
So, the Chair will entertain a motion to approve resolution number 56. Motion by Commissioner Apostolo. Seconded by Commissioner Bailey. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries.
Mr. Chair, we'll jump over to the Austin Affordable Housing Corporation agenda. Action item number two is again the Bridget Granada. This is resolution number 00137, authorizing by the Board of Directors of Austin Affordable Housing Corporation, authorizing AHC to execute any documents necessary and desirable to facilitate the development of Bridget Granada apartments and for other purposes. We ask for approval of this resolution.
Let me just say this very quick. With this resolution number, Mike, you anticipate we're going to get into tens of thousands of
money. A little scary to see those two zeros on the front.
You never know.
Okay. The Chair will entertain a motion to approve resolution number 137. So, motion by Commissioner Bailey. Seconded by Commissioner Apostolo. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries.
So, Mr. Chairman, we'll go to action item number three on the topic agenda, which is presentation, discussion, and possible action on resolution number 2614 by the Board of Commissioners of HACA, approving the resolution of Austin Affordable PFC, providing for the issuance of small family housing revenue bonds for Bridget Granada apartments and for other purposes.
Nitty, on the housing authority, you can put as many zeros as possible. All right, so the Chair will entertain a motion to approve item number three, resolution number 2614. Motion by Commissioner Apostolo, seconded by Commissioner Carrington. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. Congratulations, gentlemen. We look forward to working with you guys.
Thank you.
And can you introduce all the members of your team, just so we know who they are?
So my name is Kurt Gall. I'm the president of JCO Residential. We're excited about this project. And just talking about affordability, a lot of our market rate projects have 10% affordability of 60 or 80. And so we think this is for us for your commitment to that process. We think it's important in the city of Washington.
Thanks.
Thank you, Lord.
Ross Hamilton, I'm the Vice President of the Development with Journeyman Group. Just want to second what everybody else has already said. This being our first foray into affordable housing, I think it's important to have an experienced and the right team, and we've definitely had that. Just appreciate all the help from Suzanne and Ron along the way, as well as Coach Rose's team and everybody involved. So we're excited to finally bring it to fruition.
All right.
And I'm Trace Marie. I'm the project manager for this project. The guys have already said it, but, I'm really excited. I'm from Central Texas myself, from Bastrop, so, being able to be a part of something like this, this close to home, I've got a lot of family here in Austin. It means a lot to me, and I take a lot of pride in being able to bring this to the city. We're really excited about it. Suzanne's been amazing to work with, Coach Rose's team, everything's been great, so we're excited about this being the first one and hope to do a couple more.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Sure, we'll stick on the Austin Affordable PFC agenda. We're going to item number three, which is presentation, discussion, and possible action on resolution number 57, authorizing the issuance, sale, and delivery of multifamily housing revenue bonds for the Oaks at North Plaza and for other purposes associated with this project. Rob?
Go ahead. I'm going to defer to Suzanne. We'll tag team.
And I didn't put pictures up because we were going to pull it on the internet and show you. Basically, this is a property. You've seen it twice, once in May for the tax credit application resolution and once in June for the inducement resolution. This is a property very similar to what's in our RAD stock now. It needs like air conditioning and things like that. So Related approached us to purchase this property and to do a tax credit issuance and to rehab. This is currently a Section 8 project-based property, has 62 units. The rehab scope, I think I've attached it, but it's pretty extensive. A lot of energy efficiencies that we need, windows, all the appliances, HVAC, water heaters, washer and dryer connections. Right now they have the clotheslines out there. Related has done a lot of really good rehab projects, and we're pretty excited to partner with them because of what the tenants, what they deserve. And I feel like this is very similar to our RAD conversions. It is also, you know, north, kind of not too far from our Journeyman project, the Granada. And
about a mile east of Sterling Village on North Lamar.
That's what yeah. J stands for, and JC is Journeyman?
Journeyman.
Okay.
Yeah, this one we're partnering with Related on.
Okay.
So these would be the final resolution so that we could go ahead and close and get our tax credits and start the rehab. We probably would, looking probably at a December closing, not starting any rehab or anything until the beginning of the year after the holidays.
Well, after the holidays.
We think this deal is the right one to do. We think it, the folks who live there are very nice people who they're really living some challenging conditions. Not that the property ownership's been bad, but it's a property in need of rehab. We've been talking to Related companies about this project, and we are hopeful that we'll be able to close with Related. That would probably come before council in a couple of weeks' time. Still some issues to work out, but we think it's a property that we, if we're able to move the transaction forward, that we can be successful at.
We fortunate to do a lot of history on this since it's managed by Southwest Housing and the compliance side, so we were able to pull up previous scores, and the previous ownership did a very, and I was fortunate enough to be able to walk the majority of the units and meet most of the tenants, and it's a very, very clean, very good shape. We're going to put a lot, it's actually going to be called the Oaks at North Plaza because we're planting, it's just flat, there's not a single tree on this property. We're bringing in big trees to make it with a brand big playscape, and we're gonna, so we wanted to name it because there's not a lot of stuff out there that makes it look very pretty outside. So.
So this is 100% Section 8 project based.
Correct.
Through the old Section 8 program, Southwest Housing manages 60,000 of those units. So once this is converted, tax exempt bonds are issued, 4% credits. Do those project based vouchers stay there? So they will stay on this property.
Yes, ma'am. We're not adding any more density. We're not tearing anything down. We're not building anything more. We're just going to leave 62 units in place for the residents there. We're going to try to do a majority of it in place by moving within the property. We probably will have to relocate some, and AHC is prepared to make several of its properties in the very close vicinity available for residents that need to be transferred.
What's the term limit then, or the length of time, the remainder for those vouchers that are there?
Did they just get a renewal?
Yes,
they just got a renewal.
So
those renewals good?
Usually 20 years.
20 years, okay.
And that was one of the other things, too, is it could possibly have lost its project-based status, especially when you're seeing a lot of, again, there's two apartment complexes across the street that are now on the open market that are very, very being highly bid after on the private market directly across the street. Remember, this area was, you wouldn't touch this area, wouldn't come close to it 15 years ago, you know, when... back when you know it's just tough, and it's just rapidly changing, and you know I just think it's the right thing to do for these residents, but hopefully we'll get across the finish line.
Yeah, two quick points. One is that we're very much working with SACC to make sure that we disclose to HUD that we're potentially purchasing this property. We have identified the conflict. We're not sure that they will take that. We're not sure that it's of the scale or a sufficient concern that they will remove it from the Southwest Housing Compliance Corporation portfolio. Mm-hmm. But if they do, they would just handle it. Either they've assigned it to another project-based contract administrator, or they would give it to HUD, would do it themselves. So we're not terribly concerned about it, but it's, you know, we never like to see a loss of SACC business, but but we've disclosed the conflict and have taken no action on it. Second thing is that we have related companies do the property management at the site. We would be very engaged with the property management, really working with those tenants, and we probably look to have some kind of a tenant protection team kind of assist there to make sure that all the residents, because we're going to put in $53,000
total cost per unit.
So in and out. Yeah, it's about $2 million over the property. That we want to make sure that the residents are successful and, you know, don't feel like they're being displaced, but there will be some need for hotel units and to move people around a little bit. So we want to do as good of a job as we've done here out there as well. And that's been a concern to us. So there'll be some issues to deal with there. Mm-hmm. But with that said, we would ask for your approval with resolution number 57 on Oaks and North Plaza.
So the chair will entertain a motion to approve resolution number 57, recognizing Commissioner Carrington. For a motion, seconded by Commissioner Costello. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries.
The Oaks at North Plaza on the Austin Affordable Housing Corporation agenda is item number 4. So we're asking for your approval of resolution number 139. Board of Directors of AHC, authorizing AHC to execute any and all documents and take other action necessary or desirable to facilitate development of the Oaks on North Plaza and for other purposes.
I got a question, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
That's a legal question. Could we set up a super corporation made up of all these other corporations so when we run one of these things through there, we don't have to vote once? In other words, it'd be a corporation made up of all of our nonprofits.
A good question.
I'm just thinking we're having to go through these every time.
Right.
And instead of saying, well, it'll go to this, and then it'll go to that, and then the third one along the ground, we just make these people, this new super corporation, our agent
right.
for doing this. And we say, yep, it's okay, we're through.
Maybe. For various reasons, you do want to keep, I think, certain things separate. And you already have, like, AHC, it's a capitalized entity with a track record where some...
Well, you wouldn't change that. You
just, right.
You just, for
fold them
purposes
in.
Of administrative ease, set up a super corporation to act as an agent for all these other corporations. Although you may still have to go ahead and get the others to approve it, too.
I think so, too, especially on the issuer side, I was about to say, we have to go through an approval process with the Attorney General's office, since these are considered public securities. And so many of the approvals they're looking for are pretty specific, so we probably have to vet it with them to see if they would have any issue.
Yeah, that's just a bummer.
Sure thing.
And Bill, I shouldn't ask any of the legal issues that you see or anything structurally different?
This is the same structure as the prior transaction. Again, you have the conduit issuer acting in a limited capacity to issue short-term bonds, while on the AHC side, they'll control a general partner, which will be the participant in the deal, and PACA will own the land. But that's it.
We ask for approval of resolution number 139.
Chair recognizes Commissioner Costello for a motion to approve resolution 139. Seconded by Commissioner Carrington. Any discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries.
And then we'll carry on to the PACA agenda, item number 4, which is resolution number 2615 by the Board of Commissioners of the Housing Authority of the City of Austin, approving the resolution of AHC, Austin Affordable PSC, providing for the issuance of its multifamily housing revenue bonds and for other purposes convenient to facilitate the development of folks on North Plaza.
Chair will entertain the motion to approve this resolution.
So moved.
Motion by Commissioner Carrington, seconded by Commissioner Apostolo. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries.
Chair, we'll go back to the Austin Affordable PFC agenda, item number 4, which is resolution 58, declaring intent to issue bonds to provide financing for a multifamily residential rental development. Persons with low moderate income to be known as the estates at Owen Tech.
I forgot to do a slide for
this is an administrative resolution on this one. I think an inducement resolution, which is the official action to start the process for applying for bond cap, was previously adopted for this transaction for $15 million, and I think since that time the developers decided they need $20 million in bond cap to make the deal feasible. So this would just be adopting this kind of starter resolution to allow the project to apply for $20 million in bond cap.
And this is will be our first development with Generation Housing Development out of Dallas. They do a very quality product for seniors. It'll be 174 senior units. It will be 60% AMI and below.
This is a partner that Audrey Martin bought.
Yes, and Audrey will be our tax credit consultant on that.
So, have they done any deals here in Austin that we would know of?
I think they've done
one
in one of the outlying towns, Round Rock, I think.
Yeah, real close.
They're more. They play a lot in the 9% field.
Okay.
But Audrey Martin has worked with them before, and her being our tax credit consultant on a lot of the other deals.
Is there any conflict with our tax consultant bringing us a job?
They went through the regular RFQ process and contacted us with the project, so I don't think it's a conflict. Since it's not the 9% round.
So I just don't know what kind of.
Yeah, because as a lawyer, I couldn't lobby my client and bring a deal to him.
Yeah, there's a handful of tax credit consultants in this space, or ones you all work with. We work with Audrey Martin. Audrey ran the tax credit program for me and she was there at the Texas Department of Housing. Very experienced.
And I just don't want her to be bringing us business that she's going to get paid for.
Joe, you want to talk about conflict? Any conflict?
You know,
things that we need to think about as we navigate that?
We would have to look into that. I don't think we've examined whether or not what kind of fee structure
I don't know enough about our relationship with this lady.
She's also not the only tax credit consultant.
If she brought this deal to us and it's a 4% tax credit deal, and we're paying her, the sisters get the tax credits, and then she's making money on the transaction itself.
Right.
Then to me, there's a conflict there.
Yeah. No, I think Generation came in through the process that we've established.
Yeah, and we've vetted them.
We made an introduction to Generation as well as to others through. Yeah, a wide variety of. I mean, we've had other partners that we work with. They've introduced us to quality developers, skilled construction firms, and others.
I'm going to turn to my colleague to my right, Commissioner Carrington, because she has that Barbara Jordan look. If you can't explain it to your grandmother in 30 seconds, and her not do that to you, something ain't right about this. And you've got that kind of a spatial expression.
And I think it's a great question. And I'm going to turn right around and look at our councils and say we probably need to take a look at this.
I agree. We have to see if she's making money directly from it. Now, if she's just providing those services and the project was going to happen anyway, I don't see a concern. But if she's directly earning money from the transaction. We need to look at it.
And not just her, any of them.
Well, this is the one that's before us.
The one that we're talking about right now.
We've had consultants bring transactions to us, like
Cynthia Bass,
on a real regular basis.
Right. And it was really, I mean, she introduced us to them.
But I mean, most developers come into the city and they reach out to the people doing the business, and the first thing they're going to do is call the housing authority, and they're going to, you know, it's, I mean,
that's a little different because the developer that comes in, we're not paying them to do work on other deals. I mean, so the difference to me is she's a tax credit consultant. That she advises us on a number of different deals, but I'm not sure this is the case, but if she's bringing a deal to us that she's making money on, and then she's making money on both sides of the transaction, that's a conflict. There's one thing for a developer to say, hey, I got this property, I'm buying it, I want to do a deal with you guys, boom, that's done. But they didn't get paid on both sides of the equation.
Not for us.
Is she getting a fee for bringing this transaction?
No. She's only being paid for doing the tax credit application.
She doesn't have a contract with HACA or with AHC.
No.
So we don't pay this lady any money?
The partnership does when the transaction
closes.
And
we're the partnership.
We are part of the partnership.
Yeah, see, I think that's...
But we've done it on...
We need to check it out.
We've done that on... I mean, it's... You don't want... I mean, when you did, for instance, the Journeyman Group. I mean, we wanted to make sure that, as our partner, that the process is done right through the TDHCA. So we then bring in a consultant in the partnership itself.
What I'm saying, if this lady, as a result of bringing us business, gets paid by us, and the business that she brings into us pays her for bringing it into us, then there's a conflict.
Correct. We don't pay her.
But our partnership
does. It's just like an architect or an engineer.
Aside from the consulting fee.
Yeah, the project is for the service she does.
Right.
Not to bring
it's only right. The service.
There's no referral.
No finder's
there's no
fee.
No finder's
fee.
Right.
No
referral. Care about a finder's fee. She's getting paid to do this job.
By the partner.
By the partner.
But
by
it's
the
big similar partner. To the architects getting paid for this job, and we have the same architect on several
and if the
deals,
architects brought this company to us, there'd be a conflict.
I haven't fixed
maybe.
Well, would there be a... let me ask a question. So, Chuck, if you and I have a client, and we're doing work for them, but we identify another problem they have, we're bringing that problem to their attention, they pay us to solve it. It's not a conflict. That's what a good lawyer does, right? You're supposed to find the latent problems that most folks wouldn't see.
What you pay to do.
You raised a good question.
I haven't made a motion, and if I do, I may be outvoted. So I'm not going to raise a motion. I'm just raising a point that I don't want to get down the road and find out that this consultant or another consultant, as we're doing all of these projects, is getting paid on both sides. And I don't care whether it's HACA or whether it's a partnership that HACA is a member of. It doesn't matter.
Right. She's only getting paid.
That would be easy to confirm.
Right.
That there's the single source of payment only for work rendered as doing the tax credit.
And it wouldn't necessarily mean, even if we didn't pay her or if the partnership didn't pay her, if as a result of her work, she got paid from somewhere because of stuff she did for us.
I understand.
And she gets paid for these people that she recommends. It's a conflict.
Right.
So we may have an agreement that has a disclaimer in it already with her. Either way, maybe we should have a disclaimer with people that are referring these projects that they're not getting.
Listen, the only reason I brought it up is because somebody over there said this is one of our consultants who brought us this deal. And that just triggered these questions.
For sure.
Yes, I think it's a good idea to have that disclosure agreement in place.
Right.
So I think you ought to work with Mike to draft something up so we are protected.
Or if you look into it, then he's like, Bailey's full of crap. That's just nothing.
No, I think it's a good point.
Okay.
It doesn't hurt just to have it all the time.
I mean, it may not be nothing there here, but I think we ought to have it as a standard boilerplate to protect us in all future contracts going forward.
Right.
So we'll, this deal is going to be coming back to you. This is not approving the last time. You're not doing
like
board resolutions. This is the very first resolution.
We got a super corporation.
Yeah. But that'll give us plenty of time to come back.
We don't have to have multiple discussions.
I don't know. I think we need to take them one by one, Chuck.
I agree.
I'm not staying here until 4 o'clock.
So we ask for approval of this resolution.
Now the question is, can you?
And we'll direct council to work to identify compensation. So
do you approve or do you postpone?
We would ask for approval.
Yes.
Because coming back to you again.
And the only other thing is, I think this team wants to make an application for bond funds in what's called the bond lottery, and that means an application has to go in tomorrow.
But again, so you're not approving this deal.
No. Yeah.
Right. This is going to come back to you.
Basically, what we're doing is authorizing staff to be able to submit the application.
Yes, that's basically it.
Okay.
We're just making a change.
I keep thinking of that poor guy that filed his motion for habeas corpus 5 minutes too late with the Court of Criminal Appeals, and his time got executed.
Yeah.
Bam.
Well, let's prevent that from happening.
Right, yeah.
Well, we approve resolution number 50.
So the chair will entertain a motion for resolution 58 with the proviso that the staff is going to do due diligence on all the consultants involved in this deal. Motion by Commissioner Apostolo, seconded by Commissioner Carrington. Further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries.
And just to clarify, while we'll, I think there'll be some consulting with Wilson, given Coach Rowe's incredible depth in this space, I'm going to ask that Bill take the lead on
That's fine.
Just
sure.
Be clear.
That's fine.
Mm-hmm. Great.
And while you're doing it, I'll tell you about sort of at the last minute, or you could be like Mark Warner, who at the last minute took all the applications that the FCC was handing out for folks to go to cellular phones, and he just started calling. He could as many applications as he could and just start calling folks, sending them out, and people didn't want them, so he just started completing them, and he submitted them all, and that's how he became a millionaire overnight. He had the majority of the applications to go to cell phone.
Wow.
So, being the last minute, it can hurt you or it can...
Mr. Chair, we ask on the Austin Affordable PSC agenda, item number 5 is resolution number 59, ratifying the current list of officers for Austin Affordable PSC.
All right, and the officers are Mr. Colwell, Gerber, and Ross, Ms. Ross, right?
Correct.
Correct?
Correct. That's correct.
That's correct, sorry. Yes, sir.
Mr. Gerber will be president. I am going to be vice president and secretary, and Martha Ross will be treasurer.
All right. Any questions? Hearing none, all. The chair will entertain a motion to approve resolution number 59.
Motion
by Commissioner Carrington, seconded by Commissioner Apostolo. Any discussion?
Yeah, what are we doing? This is one kind of quickly. Could you
number
are
we on? Current
so we're on 59. Item 5.
59.
So go to the Austin Affordable PFC Corporation.
Right before the board.
So
the big number 5. Yeah.
I mean, this
is. I know, but just
tab 5.
This is mainly to
give me a little explanation.
Sure, this is just to ratify it. As part of the transactions we undertake, both for the Attorney General's office and the various lenders involved, they'll periodically ask us for incumbency. I think that there had been a question raised. Mr. Gerber, initially you had been secretary of the PFC executing the bylaws, but then also we'd been advised that you're the president as well, and you've been performing that function, so we wanted to codify that. These officers, just to make clear for everyone what we had, and so we could confirm for our lender and for the AG who the
property. And why are we doing staff instead of commissioners?
it doesn't have to be, but I think some of the prior this has been
you
the,
all
the
are
prior.
You we have I don't know who's our PFC who's our commissioner
Tire, yes.
Right, so these are officers, not directors.
We've done this before.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This has already been approved. We just needed to flip and make me the secretary instead of.
Because before Mike was the secretary.
Right. Yeah, and I think I raised these same questions. Back.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, okay, that's fine. Thank you.
Sure thing.
So that has been approved?
I voted. Great. Mr. Chair, any other questions?
Still a second.
Yeah,
okay.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries.
If there's any need for executive session, all reports are submitted. We ask for to close the Office of Florida PFC.
Chair will entertain a motion to adjourn the Office of Florida PFC. Motion by Commissioner Carrington, seconded by Commissioner Augustolo. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. We are adjourned at 2:34 on Thursday, October 17th.
Chairman, on the Austin Affordable Housing Corporation agenda, item number 3. This is resolution number 138, authorizing AAC to execute any and all documents and take other necessary actions desirable refinancing the pathways of Thermal Heights and for other purposes.
Correct. So I think if you all remember, this was where we authorized a loan on Eastland Plaza to facilitate the closing for Thurmond Heights because we had some issues with hotel units and some underwriting problems. We were going through some still renovations and we couldn't close this deal. And we were up against the timeline to get Thurmond Heights, which was the catalyst to close Rosewood, Santa Rita, and Salina as well, because the proceeds off of that were going to generate those three closings. So you all back in September of 2018 authorized Eastland Plaza to take out a loan to facilitate that. The loan was for just under $5 million. The reason why the property itself was going to borrow a little over $6.063 million. But we had to have this happen so quickly in order to make, so we didn't kick into the next year. We've got a desk stamp for this loan and got it done in 7 days, and so it's, as long as it didn't exceed $5 million. And then AHC put in the additional capital to close Salina, Rosewood, and Santa Rita. So what we're doing now is what we originally planned to do a year and a half ago is now go back to Thurmond Heights, have them take out this loan. The proceeds of this loan will then pay back the AHC loan to on Eastland Plaza, so it'll be free and clear again, and wipe that out, and also pay back the initial capital put into Salina, Rosewood, and Santa Rita. So basically what we're asking you here to do is let us go back to what we planned on doing now that Thurmond is operational, doing well, and Thurmond will now take the debt for these properties.
And just to clarify, Thurmond is the property that generates
the revenue.
So you're looking at revenue compared to the other properties, which are smaller and have limited attention.
Correct. And we could have, obviously, we could borrow a heck of a lot more if we wanted to, but we're choosing only to borrow what is exactly what we need to pay back the loans that were originally taken out.
And we delayed the financing there because we had ongoing projects at Thurmond Heights that we had to complete under the old system using the capital fund. So that was a program that we paid for the work at Thurmond Heights, as you know, over a four-year period. So we weren't able to go and assign this kind of, we weren't able to do this kind of financing.
We couldn't. We just, yeah,
until
we just wasn't allowed.
Was completed. Is that right, Anne?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The interest rate on this will be almost a 200 basis points cheaper than what we are on the Eastland Plaza loan. Mm-hmm. We have a no prepayment penalty on that loan. We have no closing costs, so it's basically a zero cost loan to us when we pay it back. And then again, Eastland Plaza will be free and clear.
How long will it take Thurmond to pay this back? What's the payment?
It's a 30-year loan. It's a 30-year loan. And it will be under HUD's requirement a 17-year balloon. It's a 30-year payout, but it's year 17, we'll come back to you all in 17 years and we'll talk about it.
I hope not.
I'm not doing the math. I'm too afraid. But that's what HUD requires us to not do anything less than 17 years under the RAD program. Fortunately, we were able to get a waiver on Lakeside for a 10-year because we anticipate some different things there. But this one will be just fine. Jimmy's done an excellent job at the renovations and the remodeling there, and I don't see any need to do that. We didn't see any need to do anything less than what HUD required or under the RAD program.
Is there a possibility we can pay it off early?
Oh, there's always a possibility.
And it's got really good cash flow.
There is some prepayment issues on this, so we have to be very careful. We're allowed to only pay down a very small amount of principal, and that increases as the years, and then 6 months out at year 16 and a half, the whole prepayment penalty is waived. But so we're subject to only a minimal amount of principal payment above and beyond what's collected under the Fannie Freddie guidelines.
Why is that? Because usually, you know, your lenders want to get their money back as quickly as possible.
It just depends because they're playing the markets too and hedging on rates where they're going to be in years. And actually, a 17-year mortgage costs us a few basis points more because you're right. A lender would love to have their money sooner, but they're pledging. They're going to sell this out to the secondary market. You're going to have somebody buy it at this rate, and they don't want. They're investing their money in the long haul, and so there's a lot of internal rate of return issues on the backside of this. So it's how agency debt works. You know, they're just very stickler on that. That's why we're fortunate to do the Eastland Plaza loan where we had no prepayment. You know, no cost to close this loan. It was very quick and easy. But this is RAD's requirement, so we're kind of stuck to it.
I think I remember being a little uneasy about borrowing money against something I didn't think we ought to have in the first place. Mm-hmm. But why? And I think I asked it this at the time. Why didn't we just take cash from our kitty, from our SS Southwest kitty?
And we can.
I think
financially, we did take some. We took about 1.3 million or 1.4 million. But I think, you know, taking a $6 million hit out of our unrestricted reserves would have made us financially look a little bit. We didn't have that much. You know, we don't have that much in the pot to take that much of a financial hit. All
and we
once.
Put money into significant money into Gaston and to, you know, which was
5.7.
Seven. So we, you know, we went down significantly in our reserves with that. But we need to retain what we think is a reasonable reserve. So there's not as much in that reserve as you think, because we have made really substantial investments in the properties.
And
here too, some gas.
But we would have paid it back just like we did this, right?
Gaston will be paying the money we put into Gaston Place is being paid by the property over time.
No. I mean, Gaston's money's either coming in from the bonds or wherever it's coming in from, and it goes back. The $6 million goes back. Of that goes back to. You said we're going to be whole again.
So we. No. What
not,
you
not Gaston.
So Eastland.
Yes, correct.
So the shopping center. We had borrowed $5 million, so that money's getting ready to go back.
That's correct.
And where's that money coming from?
We're going to now go back to Thurmond Heights and take out the loan that we originally were going to do from on the first place.
And why couldn't we have done that and just paid back our kid, the $6 million to the kid?
Because he was saying, because with Thurmond and some others, and like with this project, we've been putting money from the reserve into different projects, so it's been going down. So rather than taking the full $6 million
for a year, I can tell you, paying any interest, that I guess that's my question.
Are we better off
financially doing it like we did?
Correct, especially when HUD's looking at our books, and you know we want to retain a certain liquidity amount. There's some, you know, so to show that we're liquid, a $6 million hit all at once, even for a year,
even with a footnote that why we're doing it.
Right, and you know. We really didn't know how long it was going to take. We didn't know where interest rates were going to be. So I think that was probably the.
Well, I think I made the same argument back then. And
the good news is, Eastland will be whole again, and the properties will be free of all AHC's loans and all that, and will be operational like we planned on from day one.
Okay.
And I think it's worked out because one of the concerns I had several years ago is, and I think you and I both had this conversation, was our reserves were so high that the concern was HUD coming in and trying to take that money. We were trying to figure out how they could prevent that, because when there was a point we were up to almost $20 million. And I was nervous then about, hey, because there was still, even back then, and it's even more so now, talk about making you spend your reserves first before we send you your monthly allocation, which I think is, pardon my French, but I think is ass backwards. Because when I first got on the board, the whole conversation from HUD was, you need to build up your reserves. And now they got to the point where you need to spend your reserves before we give you any money. And that's not the way businesses, you know, people do business. You always want to have your reserves, and whatever your operating income is, you spend that first before you go into your reserves. So this was a good way to do that.
Well, don't need to be worried about that anymore. What's in our reserve account now?
13.5 of cash. And before, we're also looking at current assets less current liabilities. That buffer was added to that total amount.
Well, even still, $13 million is a lot of money that HUD could get its hands on. Yeah, excuse my French.
We ask for approval on the AC agenda of resolution number 138.
Motion by Commissioner Apostolo, seconded by Commissioner Duncan Hall. Further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries.
On the hockey agenda, item number 5 is that very same item. It's resolution number 2616. Authorizing by the Board of Commissioners of HACA to take such actions as necessary to facilitate the refinancing of pathways of Thurman Heights.
The Chair will entertain a motion to approve resolution number 2616.
So moved.
Motion by Commissioner Duncan Hall, seconded by Commissioner Carrington. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries.
If you like that last refinancing, you're going to like this next one. Item number 5 is resolution on the Austin Affordable
House. I'm prepared to answer those questions, too.
It's resolution 140 to authorize AHC to facilitate the acquisition, development, and rehabilitation of the bridge at Pantry through refinancing and for other purposes. And Ron, you want to walk through that?
So let me give you a really quick... With quick tour, as you all know, Bent Tree was one of the very first assets we acquired.
Yep.
It is the only remaining asset that is under the name of Austin Affordable Housing Corporation, which is not a good thing because it's exposing AHC. Even though it's a non-recourse note, you still do. So one of the purposes of us doing this is to get it out of AHC's name and form a single-purpose entity that is 100% owned by AHC. So it'll be called the Bridge at Bent Tree, which is our kind of our call name. The other interesting thing about Bent Tree is it, unlike all our other properties that escrow money for replacement reserves and repairs, this property never had that because it was just bought. AHC just bought it, and we needed something. Thomas said, here's a check, go fix something. And so we were always a little nervous about using reserves on that. Thirdly, this note, which has got a balance of a little bit over $1.3 million left on it, it will be due and payable on March of 2020. So we're going to have to refinance it anyway or pay it off. Bent Tree is in dire need of exterior repairs, roofs, windows, siding, and we've completely renovated all the interiors from cash flow. So now we're going to need to spend about a $2 million hit to go ahead and take care of the property. That it's the only property that we have in our portfolio that has no replacement reserves solely dedicated to it. So what I'm asking in this resolution is, number one, we're going to refinance the debt of 1.3 something million, and we're going to borrow with amount not to exceed, we're still working on our costs, not to exceed a total amount of $4 million using an agency debt. The interest rate was extremely favorable right now, and our payments will not be affected. But what this will do is give us a healthy reserve for replacement so we can take care of the need. This property was built in 1978, so we're going to need to do some things. We have some ADA issues we have to take care of, which are going to be quite costly. Then there's some other things that we have to take care of. We're putting those bids together, but we feel pretty good. It's going to be an amount not to exceed $2 to $2.2 million, but just to be safe and sound, I'm asking for an amount not to exceed $4 million.
How much goes into the reserve?
100% of it. Other than the 1.3, so it would be 2 point whatever we end up with our number costs at. But it's not the total loan amount is not going to exceed $4 million. The property's worth about $16 million right now.
Are you looking to make the name change as well?
We are, and that's under the resolution to take necessary action to change it to the Bridge at Bentry, and we'll take that through its process to get it out of AHC's name.
What's the interest rate on the loan that comes due next year?
Maybe close to six. I think it's like 5.85, 5.9.
What do you anticipate the interest rate would be on the $4 million loan?
Well, we locked Lakeside at 3.34.
Right.
So I'm going to assume there's, all depends on trade with China, but I'm going to assume we're going to be somewhere in the 3.5s to 3.6 range. And this will give us the needed monies we need to take care of the property for the long term. This asset's extremely valuable. It's in an excellent part of town, as you know, in Northwest Hills, off of Steck and Mopac. It's been the one property that's been semi neglected on the exterior. The interiors are stagnant, and the exterior looks beautiful. Don't get me wrong; it's in great looking condition. But we have to really address the roofs. 100% of the roofs have to be redone. The windows are all 1970s, very, very poor efficiency. We're going to go back and add insulation. We're going to, fix the siding. We're going to do some, again, ADA. There's no access to certain things that we have to make available for ADA. There's some other projects that we need to work on over there.
How many buildings are there?
I'm sorry?
How many buildings on that property?
11 buildings? Yes.
Do we have any insurance on that property?
Of course.
Will the insurance pay for the roofs?
Yes, if we had a hail claim.
We have to have a I can't imagine that we wouldn't.
Well, we waited. It was one of my plans was to wait 15 years. Now I've got tenants wanting to know when their roofs are going to get fixed.
Right.
We've done a pretty good job, but they've certainly hit their lifestyle. Their original
all the
roofs. We've had issues, but we've managed to take care of the necessary repair without replacement, hoping for a hailstorm. Thomas did. But I felt very uncomfortable. I just don't do it that way. I mean, every one of our properties has healthy balances for replacement reserves where we don't have to tap into our unrestricted cash reserves, which and my argument is there's debt and then there's good debt. And when you're borrowing, a $4 million loan amount on a $16 million project, and the payment doesn't change your cash flows, but it also gives us some comfort and security that we have the money there to take care of things needed down the road, I think it's the best play. I mean, if you look at that chart I gave you, we have $10 to $12 million or something sitting in replacement reserves across our portfolio, so we never have to worry about things that we need to touch down the road of life. And this will start also in this refinance. We will also start escrowing $300 per unit, per year over the course of the next 30 years as we finance this. So it's going to start. It'll continue to build up our replacement reserve. So we'll put it just like the other portfolio.
Chair, we ask for approval of resolution number 140.
So moved.
Motion by Commissioner Duncan Hall, seconded by Commissioner Apostello. All in favor, any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries.
Thank you.
Chair, there's no executive session or open session or other reports to be given on AHC. We'd ask for a motion to adjourn.
The chair will entertain a motion to adjourn the board meeting for the Austin Affordable Housing Corporation. Motion by Commissioner Carrington, seconded by Commissioner Apostolo. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries, and we are officially adjourned at 2:50 p.m.
Thank you, Bill.
You're
welcome.
Thursday, October
17th. Great. I'm going to ask for a number six, but So we took over the Boys and Girls Clubs for today's activities, which is fun, which is great. Because we wanted to bring you all here. But I think all the kids are still planning to go outside. Does anybody want any more of the food? Because if not, I was going to say, let's send the cookies and
I think the cookies are long.
Grab whatever else is there. Otherwise, we'll send it out. Let's go to item number six, which is resolution number 2617 by the Board of Commissioners to take the same actions you just approved on the ASC agenda related to the development and redevelopment and rehabilitation of the bridge at Benjamin.
Okay. So moved.
Motion by Commissioner Duncan Howell, taken by Commissioner Apostello. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries.
Item number seven is resolution number 2618, approving the award of a renewal contract for agency-wide trash disposal under second services. The Waste Management of Texas. And Nora's going to give us a 30-second.
30-second, yeah. This is a tough act to follow. I'm not buying properties. I'm not borrowing money. It's a boring resolution, but very, very important because it keeps our properties clean. So resolution 2618 is the last annual renewal with Waste Management for agency-wide trash pickup and recycling to meet the city's ordinance. At every renewal, they base their increase on the consumer index annual nationwide, and it's only 1.6, which is only about less than $5,000 increase for the whole agency. So I thought that was very low. So that's good. So starting here, once we implement this last contract, we'll. In a couple of months, I'll start putting it together for so we can go out to bid again, because this is a long process for the trash pickup and recycling. We'll be looking at the properties to see, to make sure that we have the right number of dumpsters and the right type of dumpsters, and we'll go out for bid again sometime in the near future so we can come back next year with a new contract.
So does the contract cover all the new properties that we develop?
No, it's only our properties, the 17 or 18 that we got left over now, and our all of our rental properties like 1503, 1507, next door 1100 and 1124.
Okay. Any questions?
No.
With that, the chair will entertain a motion to approve resolution number 2618. Motion by Commissioner Apostello, seconded by Commissioner Duncan Hall. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. Thank you.
Next, thank you.
Mr. Teasdale.
Resolution 2619 for Woodhill Coaches of Shadowbone, which comes in about 30 seconds.
30 seconds. Good afternoon, Commissioners. The pathways and bridges of Shadow Bend, are in need of roofing replacements. The roofing there is approximately 15 to 19 years old across the site. It has an older shingle style. There have been some leaks, and it is time to replace those roofs. It's in our schedule for reserve for replacement. We have gone out for bid as appropriate for our procurement policy, and we received 9 bids on the job. And we did qualify J.J. Red Commercial Roofing, LLC, who has provided the lowest bid, most responsible and responsive, and we request approval of that contract. If you have any questions about the bidding process, I'd be happy to answer those.
One question.
Mm-hmm.
Where is this place located, J.J. Red Commercial Roofing? Seems like it's kind of out of...
They are from DeSoto.
DeSoto, Texas.
Yeah, DeSoto.
Where is that?
Outside of DeSoto. Dallas. Dallas.
Dallas. So it's still within a reasonable distance to get this job done.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, they have no facility here in Austin.
No, not that I know.
So, Jimmy, let me just commend you all. I see you have at least 9 bids.
All at NWBs?
Yeah, no, we're NWBs or MBs. Because my concern is, with the market being the way it is, not having anybody want to bid on our construction work. So, good job. Any questions? Hearing none. The chair will entertain a motion to approve resolution number 2019. Motion by Commissioner Apostolo, seconded by Commissioner Justin Hall. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries.
Item number 9 is an update on the RAD program, and Gas is going to give us the three minute version of it.
Right. Thanks for coming today. We're really proud to show off Chalmers. I will run through my regular slides of our 357 units worth of rehab in phase one and our 117 units worth of rehab in phase two. And just to remind you, we are about 80% converted. We will close Lakeside within the next 10 days or so, at which point we will be 78 units shy of a full portfolio conversion. I'm proud to say, as you've heard already, that we've got everybody moved out of Chalmers South. Goodrich moves will start right after Christmas. So we're here celebrating Chalmers South. This is wonderful, but I wanted to remind you of what we have coming next. So Chalmers South is here. Now we're moving up here. Chalmers South is 86 units, and I wanted to show you guys a comparison of the square footage. I get that question a lot. So you can see we gained close to a couple hundred square feet in each unit. I think, as we've heard from Mary, people are really excited with their new units. Mm-hmm. I wanted to give you a sneak peek at the renderings for Pathways at Chalmers East. So what you are looking at now is what, in about 18 months, you will see when you look right behind Mike there, right behind the flag. This is the corner of Chalmers and 3rd Street. The hope is we'll be able to close Chalmers between 3rd and 4th so that this becomes a park area rather than a street. We're working with the city on that. This is the view from along 3rd Street here between Chalmers and Chacon. So this is what the side view of the units will look like. And this is the view from the corner of Chacon and 4th looking down into the courtyard. This is still a work in progress, but what you can see is you've got a basketball court. You can't see, but there's a children's playground there to the left under the trees and a terraced big green space with picnic tables and a lot of room to be outdoors. So lots more to come on that, but we're really, really excited about Chalmers East. And I had a couple questions about the subsidy breakdown there. So we are replacing 80 PBRA units, but we've also got 50 project-based vouchers from Lisa's crop of vouchers. We have 5 that are just straight tax credit at 60% of the area median income, and we have 21 units at market. So that will be our Chalmers East subsidy breakdown. I think Mike has already teased this a little bit, but please, please plan to join us on November 7th at 10 a.m. right here at this intersection. We will be celebrating the grand opening of Chalmers South and the groundbreaking of Chalmers East. And I've got one more thing I want to show you. Is that queued up, Andrea?
It is.
This just went in yesterday. It's a little hard to see, but all of your names are on this plaque that is right outside the entrance to Chalmers South. If your names are misspelled, just don't tell me because I won't be able to handle it. It went up yesterday. Yeah, so I just took a photo so you guys would be able to see. But you are all memorialized on the at the entrance of this building in bronze. And that's my report.
Pardon me? Can we go back to the very beginning with the increase in square footage for the Chalmers South?
Yes.
And you said that generally it was over 200 square feet?
Just under a couple hundred square feet.
Well, that's pretty significant.
It's a nice increase.
Okay. Does it affect the...
It's almost 600 square feet for the...
That's not right. That should say 9. I should say the 3-bedroom should be 912.92. But that's still...
You almost doubled the size.
No. It should say 900. Sorry about that. Oh. But it's still a 300-square-foot bump. Okay. It's, the 3-bedroom is a lot bigger. The 3-bedroom went from a 3-bed, 1-bath to a 3-bed, 2-bath. Right. Which is a huge amount of
money. And I saw the 4-bedroom one.
Yes.
Today. Now, my question is it going to affect the rent at all, this increase in square footage?
No.
And you're saying that the other renovations will have also larger unit space.
Yes.
Right?
The plan
would it be
is,
about equal to this?
Yes, ma'am. The plan is that the size and amenities that were designed here, we have the same architect and the same builder over there. So we want to maintain the similar, if not exactly the same, finishes and size over there as we have here.
Right. I think that would be very important. Okay. All right, so we get more space. I think I might sign up for one. Get more space for the same amount of money.
Yes.
And how do we pay for this? Did it cost for it, or did it cost about the same?
It doesn't cost us more. So the residents are still paying. The housing authority residents, public housing residents who moved over here, are still paying 30% of their adjusted income in rent. So over there, the subsidy came through public housing subsidies. Here, while they're relocated, the subsidy is coming through the Housing Choice Voucher Program. That's the tool that we're using for relocation. Okay. Once they move back to the new Chalmers East, they can stay here. If they want to keep their voucher and stay here, they can. We have some residents who want to do that. But if when they move back to Chalmers East, their subsidy will be project-based rental assistance, which is the same subsidy we have at all of our other RAD properties. So we're using all the tools in our subsidy toolbox for this project.
Very good.
Yep.
Okay.
So a lot happening. So we'll... So any other questions related to RAD? Thank you. Thanks for that. And as you can see from the kind of presentation that Ann provided, that's what we're trying to do with Austin Affordable, because we've been seeing what Ann's been presenting consistently over the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to start to phase out a bit. We'll keep you updated with construction, but we're not going to be giving you probably the same regular monthly briefing. It's going to look different. But you expect to see more coming from the Austin Affordable side on that similar kinds of data.
Okay. But may I just make one comment? If Ann is not going to give us these presentations every month, she has to recognize the fact that some of us older individuals may not remember the details, so she might have to put them in writing for us at least quarterly. Thank you.
So a couple of things I wanted to just let you all know. On November 7th, of course, the Chalmers opening here at this intersection. And you all are invited to co-host that event. So we'll be putting the chairman up in front of the center. But the plan is that we'll have Congressman Doggett and Mayor Adler and Councilman Renteria and probably a few hundred people here at this intersection. So the plan is we're going to erect a small stage, and we'll do a ribbon cutting on this side of the property. And then we will hike across the intersection, and we'll do some kind of a groundbreaking, where we'll all turn dirt to celebrate the groundbreaking of Chalmers East. The next day, unfortunately, is our FSF luncheon, and so I'd like to invite all of you to the FSF luncheon. I wanted to...
Where is it going to be?
FSF luncheon is at the Austin Marriott South.
So each
of you guys have the invitation.
Right.
And then on November 21st is our next board meeting. The question I have for the board is we can do it back at the central office and try out the new cafeteria catering.
Oh, they have a new one?
We have a new cafeteria catering. Or we can go to another property. It may be a good, during the season when Chuck and Carl in particular don't have legislative work, there may be or less legislative work, might be nice to go down and see a property like the Asher that we've just entered into a partnership into, or one of our other properties up north. So if you all are open to that, I would propose that maybe we go to another property.
How you guys feel about that?
Sounds good.
Okay, we'll pick an AHC property that we'll visit.
I wanted to say one thing, and I meant to say it last time. Ron, I don't know if you put it together, but that booklet was perfect.
Yeah.
That had the pictures of the... I mean, it was just exactly what I needed.
The one I had was the one with the bad paper and the fuzzy picture, Suzanne. And we had that. Ken helped on that a little bit, too. But Suzanne basically...
Tyra and I have both been wanting that for a long time. And that was, for me, just what I needed.
Carl, congratulations to Carl. He completed his term as the Norwell National Chair President.
And he's still alive.
I think it's hard to underestimate just how much attention has been paid to HACA and how much credit we've gotten from eyes being on us and seeing the neat things that we do because of Carl's leadership in the industry nationally and folks really associating Austin as a place that does cool things. There are other parts of the country that do a lot of cool things, but frankly, because of Carl's involvement and his activities, immediately people turn to Austin, and we've gotten a lot of credit for a lot of things that we do. We do a lot of neat things, but thanks for putting us even more on the map. It's been exciting to do some of the things we've got to do in the last couple of years, and And it's always exciting and fun to show off some of the great stuff we do. We got to do some of that this past weekend for folks here in the States, but also some for international visitors as well. But thanks for your leadership. It's been huge.
Well, thank you all. Yeah. Thank you all. Couldn't have done it without your support, and I mean that sincerely. Without your support, I couldn't have done all the things I've been able to do. It's been fun for me. It's been a fun 4 years as senior vice president and as president, traveling around the country, visiting with folks, meeting with folks, getting ideas. Also, not only that, but being able to promote HACA. You know, I've always felt like we are a leader, have been a leader for quite some time, and it was a great opportunity for me to tell our story about all the things that we do, both from an operations standpoint, also from our board. I think we've got one of the best boards in the country. People marvel at the fact that we've got two lawyers. Most people don't like lawyers. An educator, someone who's run a state housing association, someone who has been a teacher at NARO, and someone who really knows this industry. And then they got a chance to meet Mary and just see how engaged she is as a resident commissioner. Mm-hmm. For a lot of executive directors, having a board like ours would be a joy, because a number of folks who I've met with over the years have said, you know, they almost have to, in some cases, check the pulse of their board members or slap them to make sure they're awake. Or, you know, the opposite side of that is that I'll never forget this. This one commissioner, this one executive director, came to me and gave me this is the letter size, but a legal piece of paper, front and back, with all the demands that her commissioners were making on her. And I said, if I were you, because she was asking me for help, I said, if I were you, I would resign. I would not have a board that would micromanage me in the way they're doing it. And there's a delicate balance. Mike and I kind of go around at times because he leads the agenda. There are times, like on the day I was happy to let him lead. Other times I want him to be a little quiet so we can have this time to have a discussion among ourselves. But it's a delicate balance. The other thing is that we are a great team, both with the board, the management, and also working with our residents. And so, you know, for me, it's been great to be able to go out and talk about what we are able to do. And also, it was funny having this sort of balance last year, the fact that we were so great. What I mean by that was, Edwina was the commissioner of the year. She got the Elizabeth B. Wells Memorial Award. Simultaneously, Mike gets the Herman Award, which is the highest award that you can get in NARO. It's so high that they even give you $1,000. I told Mike, don't tell his kids about $1,000. But I had to, you know, negotiate, because they said, well, wait a minute, why don't we, you know, having you as president and then having two people from your agency receive the top awards. And I said, look, there was no collusion. You can't take away from somebody the great things they've done. You can't say, well, let's give one next year and give one this year. I said that would be unfair to folks who were applying next year, because they were already out of the game. So I fought hard, and it worked out. I was not on stage, so they wouldn't have the appearance.
Right. It still was embarrassing.
But it was an embarrassment.
Our riches, sir.
And so, but you know, it is what it is. We are blessed to have so much talent among this agency, folks who work well together. And I tell folks within NARO and other agencies I go to, part of being successful is you got to have talent. And we are blessed to have very talented, very bright individuals. And the great thing is we all play well in the sandbox. And you don't always get that with very bright people. You have a lot of type A personalities, and somebody, they always have to lead. And part of being a good leader is knowing when it's time to step back and be a follower and be a team player. Let me give a special thanks to Nydia, who had to work with me on travel.
Yeah. You're always happier back to term coming out.
Getting from here to there and getting travel packets, getting people who are bugging her about whether I could go to this event and whether I was coming, whether I was had declined, and trying to balance all that out. So I really appreciate that, Nydia. And it's just been fun. The last thing we were able to do is
Well, two significant things that I'm really excited about that we were able to broker, and that was one, the $1 million scholarship. That was a result of our relationship with LDG. So it wasn't just me, but it was Mike and the Hoffa team working well with them. And that paid off dividends for NARA. I think it's the largest donation that any nonprofit in our space has ever received. And the other one was I had pledged when I ran, I wanted to restart Tri-Country. I had the opportunity to go to Scotland, to go to Canada and see and learn about how they did development over there. And I wanted to do that here. Initially, Adrian wanted to go to, when we agreed to do it, she wanted to go to New York and do it at the UN. I thought that would be great. But I just thought, you know, I really wanted us to be here. And when the folks from Carlson Property talked about what we were going to do here, I kind of put my foot down and said, no, we're coming to Austin. And so we were able to do it. In fact, I was checking my phone and something else, but I just got an email from Jeff Morrison, who's head of the Canadian Housing and Redevelopment Association. And he was so excited. He was saying thank you and everything. He said they have put an item on their agenda for them to host in 2021. He's inviting us to come someplace next year to their conference, a place I've never heard of in Canada. But they have this item on the agenda. He's talked to his board chair. He thinks it will pass. But I think it's important for us to have these international discussions. One of the reasons why I thought it was important was I learned a lot when I went to Tri-Country. It was the first time I had my eyes open to immigration, because in immigration in Great Britain, they do it completely different. You have family, most of them are political asylum seekers coming from North Africa. You have family come, they send one to Wales, the next one to Scotland, so they don't have a concentration of poverty. But all the issues they dealt with sort of opened my eyes up and said housing is just more than the roof. You know, I'd already known it, but I saw it in a completely different dimension. The other thing I thought was important is it gives us an opportunity to learn from them. One of our colleagues, a guy named Rick Gentry, who Rick actually was here. He ran this housing authority for a number of years back in the 80s, and now he's out in San Diego. But Rick got called to testify before Congress on some housing proposals. And one of the members asked him about, why can't you all do it like they do it in Great Britain? And Rick, in a very eloquent manner, articulated the difference between our models and their models. And sort of dispel this notion that we can do everything like the other folks around the world can do it. So for me, that was important. It's important for us to have these discussions, these dialogues, because while we do great things here, we can always learn there's a better way to do it. I'm always fond of not recreating the wheel, but taking somebody else's idea, seeing how we can improve on it to make it make it work for us. So with all that, I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. It's been great. I've enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to spend more time and get knee deep into our business. But I couldn't have done it without your support, allowing me to travel and miss a few meetings here and there. And so with that, I just want to say thank you. I want to say a big thank you to my good friend, Chuck Bailey, for on Sunday night. He gave a great oral history over Texas politics. Our folks were, especially the folks from outside of Texas, they were very entertaining. They really enjoyed it, and they really enjoyed you, your humor, your demeanor. And so they learned a lot. So it was a good way to sort of round out and finish out my term as president of NARA. So thank you personally.
Thank you.
And you had all five of your commissioners there on Sunday night.
What a show.
Yeah. We had a forum.
Yeah.
Good thing we didn't all sit on the same day.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe we should clear some of this business then. So one other thing happened last week to NARA, in addition to Carl finishing his term, is the most prestigious committee, I would argue, at NARA, is the Housing Committee. That is the committee that oversees your review of policies and proposals coming from HUD and from the administration. They have the hard discussions with some of the biggest professionals, strongest professionals in the industry. It's a tough group of people. It's 35, 40 people sitting around and really working through and mashing you know, working over those issues. Lisa Garcia was selected as chairman for this next 2-year period, so we're really excited. So things you want to change or things you want her to hustle in behind the committee with NARA, let her know, and she can take that under advisement.
So I want to say, you know, congratulations, Lisa. That's a huge deal. Mm-hmm. You know, 3 big committees, housing, professional development, and then the committee that my chair was LegNet. They're huge. But your committee is sort of the big policy committee. You'll be spending a lot of time on the phone with the NARA policy staff. They'll probably be wanting you to visit with the HUD policy staff and a few congressional staffers, because they do a lot of work. The staff really looks at them, especially when HUD is cranking out all these comments. They're going to be leaning on you to convene conference calls to get folks so that the NARA committee, the membership, has had some input before they actually write these comments and send them out to HUD and argue over them. So you're going to be busy. So good luck with all that you've got coming for it. You're a very capable person. I know you're going to do a great job in that role. And so, again, you know, we're blessed with talent, and we are, you know, seeing doing things in a variety of different aspects of NARA. So, I think you wait. Are you on the commissioner's committee? I think you'll end up on there before it's all said and done. So. But but yeah, it's been a great run, and we'll still be engaged and still have fun. And
we also continue to be involved in CLAFA, which is the Council of Large Public Housing Authorities. It's sort of the biggest 150 agencies in the country, and HACA is kind of the smaller, on the smaller side of the biggest agencies, but we play probably a little bit above our weight, but that's okay. Sylvia's been very active there for many years, and I kind of followed the boss with working more closely with NARA. But I'm actually going to participate a little bit more, get a little more engaged with the CLAFA, because I think there's a lot of important discussions that happen there, and I think it's a little bit more more focused around some of the issues that we work on. So actually, Sylvia and I are going up next week to the CLAFA meeting, their fall conference. They'll be held in D.C., which will be Lisa Garcia in charge while we're gone. Mm-hmm. So
raise the roof.
Raise the keys, yeah. so we're excited. But we'll let you know about the location of the next board meeting in the next couple of days after we identify where we're going to best handle that. And thanks for sharing the day.
Yeah. Is CLAFA organized like NARA, or is it totally different?
At their meetings, everybody, there's one day when they do committees, and so Sylvia's on the committees, and then they have one day when everybody just gets together. Everybody hears the same thing. So a couple hundred people in a room together. It's actually one of the strengths, I think, of CLAFA. There's a little more discussion. It's not, you have to kind of wade through a process and sort of wait to become chairman of the committee. Earn these positions. With CLAFA, it's actually more folks in a room with the ability for everyone to engage in the discussion. Everyone's got to end it together. It's very focused on the issues that the agencies are facing. And some of the agencies, I went to my first CLAFA meeting down in San Antonio. I got invited by the head of the then San Antonio Housing Authority, Lourdes Castro Ramirez. She invited me down. I went to this meeting, and I got invited to the lunch, and they sat me at a great table. I'm sitting there with the head of the Detroit Housing Authority, and the guy who at that time proceeded to show head of the New York City Housing Authority and the Boston Housing Authority, and Jerry from El Paso was there, and several other folks, and I was there. And the question was, something like, what keeps you awake at night? And discuss amongst yourselves. So they went around the room, and my jaw just dropped listening to the horrible things that were happening. I got no problems. We have no problems. So some of the issues are not as relatable. We have very little in common with the New York City Housing Authority. But there was somebody who said, when NYCHA catches a cold, the rest of the industry gets gets something horrific. Mm-hmm. And so we've got to be very mindful about what happens to these other agencies, like Puerto Rico and LA Housing Authority, Chicago Housing Authority. Mm-hmm. They comprise a huge percentage of the million-one units that are out there and have disproportionate influence. And so, you know, we need to make sure that, you know, that our interests are protected and we can still be as flexible as we want to be to do the things we want to do. Mm-hmm. Understand that they've got massive problems and respectful of those problems, but, you know, we want to take advantage of flexibilities like RAD and do other cool things. One other thing that I would just mention by way of being able to show off a little bit, we're kind of done with the conferences and the workshops and, you know, visitors coming for a while, which is good because I think we've got a little bit of, after November 7th, we've got a little bit of a tour and visitor fatigue right now. But we did get a high honor coming soon. We've been active in a group called the RAD Collaborative, which is all the agencies around the country who are doing RAD. And we're perceived as being, you know, one of the best agencies doing this. And we're one of the few agencies around the country doing a full portfolio conversion. So the RAD Collaborative meets three times a year, twice a year. And they've asked us to host the next conference. It'll be here if we can get a hotel in February, early February or early March. Late February, probably.
At the last week of February or the first of March, because that's, of course, butting up against South by Southwest.
Yeah.
Posing some challenges.
Well, late February, you're... The one good thing about it is the basketball tournaments have gone to San Antonio. That was sort of one of the issues. And why they went to San Antonio, because they were butting up against South by Southwest and the rooms were just too expensive for high schools. And the rodeo will be in town, but, you know.
The basketball was the big deal.
Yeah, the basketball was the big deal because you had all the different divisions. Then you had the boys, you had the girls, and so... It provides a little bit more relief, and then also you have more capacity with the Fairmont having come online now than the JW came online a couple of years ago. So you've got a little bit more. You got a little bit more capacity to do that.
So heads up for the next board meeting. I'm going to invite all of you to come earlier again to the 10:30 program review committee. We're going to receive the audit at noon. But at 10:30, we're going to ask our auditors at Berman Hopkins to talk about our audit, but more importantly, give you all a little course that they taught at NARO called Audit and Accounting Basics for Commissioners, things you all need to know so that you're looking at the right numbers and can evaluate management and evaluate agency performance. So we'll do that from that 10:30 to whenever, you know, window, and then we'll move into a formal discussion of the audit. So anticipate that, but I ask you to put the 10:30 on your calendar if you can, because I think it's an important discussion.
What's the date?
I went to a really good session Clifton Larson Allen did on five things to not, if you want to be on the front page of the newspaper with your housing authority. These are five things you don't want to do. They're accountants. They were both very entertaining, very relevant. It was really, really a good session. I don't know that I learned anything new, but it was a great refresher in my mind.
This should be a good discussion because, the audit's complicated. It's tough. It's hard to, wade through the thing. And I think, our auditor, we've got a very gifted auditor, Brian Nemeroff, and Sean, what's his last name? I forget, Sean. Cedar. Yeah, so between the two of them, I think they can really. Well, and Sean is, Brian is actually a commissioner at a housing authority in Florida. Mm-hmm. And they've represented agencies from, I think, Atlanta and several big agencies in Florida and then us. And I think they've got an engaging way of presenting material. You all should know how to look at it, because one day,
another thing that I find valuable is just reviewing the internal report that you guys have to present to the auditors, because that's a very excellent briefing of the whole year's activity, et cetera, et cetera. And I mean, you determine what you consider important, and we get degree or not degree with that.
It's, let me challenge it just a little bit, because it is important. To some extent, we in that draft. I mean, we're I don't want to say it's management propaganda, but we put our explanation in there of how we want the outside world to see it. So we're thinking about investors and others. My hope is that what I'm hoping we'll get to is you'll see some of the real numbers that you need to be really focusing in on that. And that doesn't look right. And I'm hoping we can correlate it to the. Martha provides a great report every month, and I think it's important to. Yeah, because things are leaner. Things under rat. Things are leaner. Things are tighter. Things are changing. And I think you'll see staff responding to that. Martha's kind of leading that. I mean, we have some struggles with as we convert to rat with what finance really looks like. And I think we need you all to. So we're going to invite you all to forget the term step it up a little bit on your understanding of the finances of the agency, because I think it's really important for y'all in terms of providing oversight.
Sure.
So just things to get excited about.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks for hanging with us.
Thank you.
If anyone would like to go see the unit,
So the chair will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So
motion by Commissioner Carrington, seconded by Commissioner Apostolo. All in favor,
maybe you all just phrased it in a way that you had it twice.
Thursday, October.
Yeah. Good.